Blog Talk Radio.
Talk show where we do it more than we talk about it, that is ministered to you personally. Hope all is well. I'm going to believe God with you for whatever information you need. Information, like we talked about last night, is extremely important. Information helps you, look for the right thing. If you look for the wrong thing, you're going to miss your visitation, right? Or you're going to miss your time of breakthrough, whatever that is, whatever the things that lead up to breakthrough, you're going to miss that. And so information is really huge, and we want to, really work on that and believe God that when prophets or teachers or preachers give information, that we give the right information, because when you realize how important it is, it's just everything. I mean, it's everything. Wrong information leads you to think wrong and look for the wrong things, right? It does me. And so, so it's important that God gives us the right information. And so he can paint a picture in your mind, basically, of what to look for and what he's doing, so that when he's doing it, you can come in agreement with it. If the information that you're getting is not helping to understand what God is doing, instead somebody saying what God is doing is the devil or whatever, then, that creates a problem. Then you start coming against the thing and praying against the thing that God's trying to do, right? You, me, all of us. Yeah, so that's one thing we got to remember. Your information is important. How you get taught, the preaching, teaching, all of it is extremely important. And when we start getting a hold of that, I think it's going to change the way we look at a lot of things, for sure. Really, really, for sure. All right. So we're going to see what we're going to share about tonight. I have different things I want to talk about. One of the things about, we're really believing God to produce a lot of fruit, and we're believing God for a fruit-bearing season to be a time where there's going to be a lot of fruit born from God's people. And there's different ways that happens. Of course, fertilizer always, if you're a farmer like me, I'm a farm boy, and if you don't fertilize your crops enough or right or properly, what happens is, you end up having, your crop doesn't produce its highest level of yield, or, in other words, you in every grain of every seed that you plant only produces 50 seeds instead of 100 seeds. So you want 100 seeds, right, instead of 50, because, if that one seed can produce 100 seeds and you're just getting 50, then you're not getting all you need out of it. And so God wants to make sure that we produce what we need, what God wants, to the fullest, 100-fold. And so that's what we're really believing God for. And one of the ways that you do that is fertilize. I'm an old farm boy, and I know that it's like when I do the grass, when I first did the grass, it had weeds in it, the grass mixed with weeds. And so what do? You get in there and you give it some weed and feed, you give it some fertilizer. And the grass starts growing and choking out the weeds. You don't have to really work on the weeds that much. You can a little bit, but you ain't got anything else to do. You can get out there and pull weeds. Yeah, I've done that before. But you know what? If you just start fertilizing, it really does, cause the grass you're trying to grow bigger and faster and harder. And it'll overtake weeds. It'll overtake weeds. Sometimes I think we spend too much time on the enemy, much time on the weeds in our life, and we need to focus more on, fertilizing and making what we have produce. And when it starts producing, it will just outgrow the weeds many times. Yeah, in farming, that's what you do. You plow and you plow up weeds. You have a little device that you go down between the corn and the corn when the corn's growing up, and before it gets too tall, you have a little device behind the tractor that plows up just right in between the rows and kind of digs up all the weeds that are trying to choke the corn out. And so, you know, if we focus too much on the weeds, though, I mean, there's a little bit of a focus on weeds. There's no doubt that we do control the weeds. But like with grass, the more you fertilize it, the grows it chokes out the weeds instead of the weeds choking out the grass. So, yeah, so let's all pray that we do that more, right? That we focus more on fertilizing and causing our harvest to be 100-fold instead of 50-fold. Or 30-fold. We want 100-fold. Like a grain of wheat, when it's planted, will grow up and the stalk will usually produce, you know, around 100 seeds. I don't have one in front of me counting it, but it's something close to that. So you can just imagine using that, those numbers, if you came up with 50 or 30, right, instead of 100. So your yield would be a lot less. So how do we fertilize? How do you fertilize? We're going to talk about this for a moment. You know, one of the things you fertilize, Paul says he counted all things as dung for the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Let me Google that for a second. Let me get on that. Counted all things as dung. Let's go there. All right, Philippians 3, verse 8, Paul the Apostle says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, and I consider them dung that I may gain Christ. Now, some versions say rubbish, some say garbage, but other versions, I think the King James Version, if I'm looking at it right here, where'd King James go? Come here, King James, where are you at? Yeah, so I can't even find King James here. All right, King James, I know you're here. We go right there. Yeah, here we go, King James. I think one of them said it. So I want to focus on this tonight, why we're using the word account all things, account them but dung that I may win Christ. Because dung is good for one thing, right? Fertilizer, if you fertilize with natural fertilizer, which we've done that back in the farm days, you do that. It kind of smells up the field a little bit. But at the same time, you know, the natural, more natural, of course, the better it is. You use those fertilizers that are liquid sometimes. They're not, you know, very healthy. So it's best to do that. So I've done both. On the farm for my dad. My dad was in control of all of it, of course. I just helped him. But so, you know, fertilizing is really, really big, really, really big. So how do we fertilize our crops? How do we fertilize our lives, the seed of the Word of God planted inside of us? How do we make sure we're getting the highest yield or producing the highest level of fruit? Like I said earlier, with one grain of wheat, let's say it produces, when it grows up and gets ready for harvest, it goes from one seed, it produces 100 seeds. Could you imagine just, getting half of that or a quarter of that? You know, and that's what happens many times in many people's lives. They don't produce to the fullest potential, so there's reasons for that. And I know that when we didn't put, fertilizer on the crops, that they would turn out yellow and they wouldn't be highly healthy green color. And so it was amazing. And so I, having experienced that, having known that fertilizer is a big deal, in fact, we had a pecan tree on the front yard, and it was producing, you know, pretty good pecans. But then, I get this wild idea. go to the store, go to Home Depot or Lowe's, and I'm going to get some tree fertilizer, some fruit tree fertilizer, and I'm going to do that. So I did. And I planted four of them. I mean, I put four of them, like, in the ground. You kind of dig a little hole and put them in the ground. And it fertilizes the tree. And, man, the pecans that year, and that tree grew so fast, it outgrew the outside of the tree was just like kind of like almost splitting open because it grew so fast. So So I give it a little bit too much, right? You got to get a little carried away with it. But, man, the pecans on that tree were huge. I mean, they were the biggest pecans I have ever seen. And anyway, so how did that happen? Fertilizer. So how do we fertilize ourselves? How do we produce a higher level of fruit in our lives, where we're walking with Jesus, we're getting revelations of the Word of God, where we're having peace and joy, where we're conquering issues and problems instead of them conquering us. And so the weeds conquering us, we're conquering the problems. And that is fertilizer. So here's how the Lord showed me. He said, you know, many times when we go through issues and troubles, you know, we get to make choices and sometimes some of our circumstances. And if we make the right choices, if we decide to forgive instead of not forgive, what happens? We end up, you know, being blessed. And, you know, the thing that we forgive, the people that we forgive, we choose to lose. The Bible says, he who chooses to lose, you know, for my sake will gain life. So sometimes we have to choose to lose. The person hurt us. It was their fault. We know it was their fault. But obviously our unforgiveness or hate or whatever we have is causing us to shrivel up, causing us not to grow quickly and efficiently and grow good, healthy branches and produce a lot of fruit in our lives where we have a lot of things, you know, we're just being blessed in every area. And so when you actually choose to lose, that's what Paul was saying in Philippians. He was saying Philippians 3:8. He was saying that, you know, I count them as dung. I consider the loss that I have to be as dung. All the years he spent, you know, studying and being a Pharisee of Pharisees. He said, you know, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, from whom I have suffered a loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So dung becomes something that fertilizes us. So I woke up early this morning thinking about all this, so I'm giving it to you. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. So every time you choose to try to win on your own or try to get one up on somebody, or you try, instead of yielding over to God when you could have done some things without him, instead you choose to do it his way, instead of your way, you choose to not talk bad about somebody who may deserve it because the Lord told you not to talk bad about them. Every time you do that, you choose to losing yourself creates a pile of dung. That's what it does. It creates dung. It creates something that fertilizes your life and you grow healthy. I know when I had unforgiveness toward this one person who I talked about, you know, it happened to me many years ago, but I got an unforgiveness about that. He owed me $5,683.64 or something like that, you know, and it was horrible. And pretty soon, you know, my ministry, the ministry God had me in ministering to people and prophesying and flowing and healing and, you know, those kind of things. I mean, it just kind of started shriveling up. I wasn't hearing from God like I used to. I'm like going, what's wrong with me? It was just almost natural for me to flow in the Spirit in that kind of way because I'd, you know, just been working on it for many years, and it was just natural for me to just flow in the Spirit and get in there and pray for people and watch things happen. You know, it was just almost natural. That's because I had many times in my life had given up my way, choosing to lose and suffer my pride. I used to have a lot of pride. I think I still got pride, but I used to have a lot of pride. And the pride in my life, God always brought situations for me to humble myself. In other words, to lose. When I could have won many times, the Lord says, I want you to lose this. Don't win this. I know you can win it. Don't win it. Don't win the argument. Don't win this thing. Lose it for my sake. And that's what Paul says. He counted all things loss in comparison to the surpassing excellent knowledge of Christ Jesus. In other words, that's when I started flowing in revelation, because I've moved into that place of the surpassing excellent knowledge of knowing Christ. In other words, knowledge about him, things about him, prophetic words, things about the future, things about the past, things about people's lives to help them understand what's going on with their life and give them words to encourage them and build them up. That's the surpassing excellence of knowing Christ. That's what all that does. The more you know him, the more you grow in him. And so I had to learn to, you know, die to myself, if you will. Every time you die to yourself a little bit, instead of, you know, being right when you know you're right and choosing to lose instead of choosing to win. Well, I just want to be a winner. I want to be a winner. Well, you know, Donald Trump was a big winner, and he was really good at it. I mean, the guy was really good at winning. But look what happened. He ended up losing. And so have I many times. I've lost many times when I got so wrapped up into being right. And I still struggle with that at times. So wrapped up into being the one who's got all the stuff and doing all the right things. The Lord says, when are you going to learn the secret, the dung secret, the fertilizer secret? And I just like, I didn't have a clue what he was talking about, honestly, y'all. I didn't have a clue. And the Lord said, I want you to let them have their way. Let them lie on you. Let them cheat on you. Let them deceive on you. Just let them do it. And let me do a work in you. And watch me do a thing in you that in the future I will expose them when I know it's time. I will take care of business and I will win over them when it's the right time. But I want you, in order for you to enter into that position with me, I need you to lose. I don't want you to be number one. I want you to be number last, to be a servant, to serve me. And when I started learning to serve God, instead of being right all the time, instead of having all my stuff, you know, it's like the Lord says, just be wrong. Just choose to not win. Choose to lose. And so the more I've choose to lose, the more I found myself hearing from God. It was amazing. My life started fastly growing, quickly growing. Fruit was coming everywhere, all over the place. God was giving me words and information. It was just amazing. Did I always do it perfectly? No, I didn't. I had to learn to admit when I messed up. That was hard. Especially when it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, just admit you messed up, Randy. Just admit it. Tell people you messed up. I'm going, oh, God. But I don't want to do that. How do you know? Sharon just asked me, how do you know when you're supposed to lose? You don't always. You don't always know. It's not black and white always. It's how the Lord leads you and guides you. Sometimes Jesus won. He won a lot. The winning that the way he won, like when the lawyers would come and ask him, questions that they were very good at asking questions. These weren't just questions that anybody could answer. In fact, they knew he wouldn't be able to answer those questions, and he would answer them and blow their minds. And even they were shocked at his answer. So he won on that. But the reason that he won was because he was always choosing to do not my will, but the will of God. Jesus was always choosing to do the will of the Father. You see it in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he asked the Father, you know, can this cup pass from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That was probably the hardest one he ever went through. I think he did it every day. I think he was tired sometimes. He was sleeping on a pillow in the boat. And he would, you know, be so tired that the storm was raging and the disciples were crying. And it didn't even wake him up. They had to come down and shake him to wake him up. So it wasn't just all peaches and cream for him. He dealt with a lot of situations, people always trying to take him out, trying to take him down. But the reason that he started winning, that he always won with God, was because of that. He always chose, not my will, but thy will be done. And friend, you just experiment. Sometimes you have to experiment. I could be right in this situation. I am right in this situation. But you know what? They're not giving in. They're not giving up. They're not going to. So, Lord, just give me the strength to say, you know, I'm not going to try to win this. I'm going to give it to you. Like what happened to me when that guy owed me that money? It was $5,683 and something cents. And I needed that money. I was poorer than Job's turkey. And, you know, I sent that money to him to do something. It was a television thing, antenna and that kind of thing. And he never did what he was supposed to do. And so what happened was I got very unforgiving, very bitter. I started picturing myself, you know, going to his town where he lives and, you know, breaking out some windows and shooting down his antennas on his tower. And it was just crazy. And I can't believe that I even thought about that. I never did do it, of course, but thank God it was far away. But I got really bitter, really angry. And you know what the Lord did? He said, you know, I want you to write him a letter and legally forgive him for every bit of it. Oh, my gosh. I thought that was going to kill me. The Lord said, this bitterness, this unforgiveness is ruining your life. Is it worth it? I said, no, it's not worth it. I go minister. I can't even flow. I'm scared. Nobody really knows I'm scared. Nobody really knows it because I'm just, you know, you learn how to just kind of go on and, you know, do a thing and pray and whatever. But I wasn't flowing the Spirit, and I know I was flowing the Spirit. It didn't get taken away from me. It just got covered up. So when I chose to lose that money and write a legal letter to them and say, I give this to you, I forgive you, and forgive me for having really bad unforgiveness towards you, and I release you, and I wrote it in a manner that was legal. And not long after that, twice that much money was forgiven me for an FCC attorney that I had that I couldn't pay him because the people that didn't do this for me, I wasn't able to produce, you know, money because they didn't do their part, and I got stuck in the middle, and there's nothing I could do about it. And it was destroying me. It was taking me down. It was like God saying he was showing me something. And so when I chose to forgive and let go, that fertilized my life. I mean, you talk about losing and what I gained from that. And this has happened time and time and time again in different ways in my life. Whatever area you have a weakness in, God will choose a thing that you can win or you can be right about, but you have to choose to lose, choose to forgive. They should be the ones. They're the ones that are wrong, and you know they're wrong. But is it worth it? Is it worth the bitterness? Is it worth the darkness? No, it never is. It's better to be wrong with people and do what God says and to say, you know, I forgive you. I let go of this. You know, I'm sorry, whatever it is I did, you know, I let go of this. You can be, you're right. You're whatever you need to be, you know, and if they accuse you of some horrible sin or something or stealing lunch, you don't admit to that. But you just let them have their way. Let them have their way. Just say, okay, you know, I forgive you. I bless you. I'm not going to sue you. I'm not going to make you pay me for what you did. I'm going to give it up, and I'm going to yield it over to you. And I guarantee you, friend, if you will do that, the fertilizer that will fertilize your tree, your grass, whatever you have going on, you'll find that it will overtake the weeds so fast that a lot of the problems you have that are creeping up on you, that fertilizer will cause your fruit to so abound that everything you're struggling with, everything you're dealing with, will just like be swallowed up and covered up, just like when I did our grass in the front yard. Had weeds everywhere. Had a lot of grass through there. Had a lot of weeds. The weeds were taking over. You know why? Because the yard wasn't being taken care of. So I went in and started fertilizing it, and now that yard doesn't have a weed in it hardly anywhere. I mean, it's green and beautiful and nice. And that happened through fertilizer, friend. That was the answer, fertilizer. And I'm telling you tonight, whatever it is you need to do, ask God to show you how to forgive and let go. If you have to write a letter, do something, say something, let go and forgive. and then watch God turn around and give you the miracle that you need that you can never get for yourself. God got me a miracle. He had an FCC attorney, forgive me, of $12,000-something. It was almost exactly double. I mean, you know, I don't remember exactly if it was per penny double, but it was like almost $6,000, and the money I owed was about $12,000. And friend, it was amazing. I've shared this story before a little bit, but tonight we're sharing it again in the light of this. So in order to win, we call ourselves Christians, and yet we're always trying to win everything. We're always trying to be right about everything. We're stubborn. We're rebellious sometimes. We can be. And when you find yourself in a weakness and being stubborn and rebellious and prideful, because you're going to be right, ask God to help you. It's difficult. It's like dying. But when you die, what falls off of you is fertilizer. And it falls down right around you and fertilizes your whole life. And God just starts increasing you and multiplying you. You look back and you go, man, you know, the things that God gave me in replacement of that $5,683 that was taken from me was nothing. And it was waiting all along for me to be willing to forgive and lose that. That's just one example. I've dealt with people about things that I knew I was right about. Knew that I was right. And it wasn't getting settled. It wasn't getting fixed. It wasn't working out. So I went to them and I said, you know, I choose to just not know what I know. I choose to not know that anymore. I choose to not talk about that. I choose to move on past that. Just as if you never did it. You're innocent. You know how hard that was to do? That was killing me too. I guarantee you, it was killing me softly. The fertilizer that came from that, the growth, fellowship with God, and the miracles that God started giving me was absolutely amazing, friend. It was absolutely amazing. So Paul says, if you want to flow in revelation, if you want to flow in spontaneous, continual knowledge of Jesus, do this right here. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, friend. That should be our motto. And sometimes I still get caught up into trying to win. I still get caught up into trying to be right. I still get caught up into all this stuff. I do. It's not just a one-time shot. It's something that you go through on a regular basis sometimes. Wherever your weaknesses are or wherever you think you're strong in, you need to become weak in that. Because if it's your own strength, that's why Peter denied Jesus. It was out of his own strength that he denied the Lord. I'll never deny you, Jesus. Jesus is like going, yeah, I know. You're saying that out of your own strength. And what happened? And Peter was very strong. That strength was not supernatural strength. It was human will strength. And when he failed and when he fell apart and denied the Lord, God began to do a work in Peter. Jesus just looked right over it. Said, do you love me? Go feed my sheep. Because he knew that it would break him. Friend, we can be broken on purpose. We can be broken out of willingness. We can willingly break ourselves and lose ourselves and choose to yield over. Or we can choose to just win and lose out with God. We have people are going to say, oh, that's so awesome, Randy. Yeah. But then God goes, I'm disappointed in you. What do you want God to say over you, friend? What do we want? Father spoke over Jesus. He's being baptized by John. That this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Or you just want everybody to pat you on the back. And everybody said, yeah, you were tough. You hung in there. You did your thing. I'm telling you, this message is hard to preach. God is speaking plainly to us right now. I really believe God's trying to speak plain to us in a way that he's trying to wake us up and get us ready for maybe a really tough time ahead where we can flow in prosperity right in the midst of all of it. Where God can bless us in the midst of all of it. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I see going on. So get ready for that, and let's believe God for to open you up to understand what God would be calling you to lose in, and watch him supply for you. I know I can't explain every circumstance to every person, and I apologize for that tonight, what you're going through, and what you could lose on, what you could give up and yield over to God. But friend, let God show you. Let God show you. He'll show you. Every circumstance is different. There's different ways to lose in Christ and win with the Lord. Ask God to show you. Who knows? Maybe we'll prophesy over tonight and God will show you some things tonight. That could be awesome. That could be really, really awesome. All right. Let's take callers tonight and see what's going on. I have a lot I want to say. I didn't want to talk about that tonight exactly. I wanted to talk about the positive and negative gospel. But we didn't get there, so maybe tomorrow night we're going to believe God for what he wants to do. Somebody needed that message tonight. I think that was for one person. And God's trying to help you overcome and get through things. So give him a chance to show you. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me? You want me to lose in this situation? To trust you? You're going to fertilize? Is this going to be fertilizer for me? Just show me, Jesus. Help me know. In Jesus' name, amen. Because what happens, here's the fruit of that doing that. When you let God, when you choose to lose or you could win under your own strength, under your own stubbornness or whatever, and you choose to let go and let God starts taking up for you, then he's the one who, if somebody needs to be shamed, he will shame them. Paul the Apostle talked about certain people, shamed them publicly. That's what Paul said in the church. There are some people that, you treat different people a different way with different situations. He said some people, you have to shame them publicly. Pretty rough when it gets there. Paul the Apostle talks about that, And so there's different ways that that happens and different ways that God does it. So the thing is that what you want to do, the process of losing and giving over things to God instead of trying to win everything and be the smart one who's always on top, then you end up like Donald Trump, and I like Donald Trump a lot, but he sure didn't win. He sure didn't win. They outwitted him in some ways that weren't exactly right, but they still did it. That's the sad part about all that. They still did it. Yeah, somebody sent me a word on that today. They sent me the word that I gave on the show in 2018 about that, and the word that I used in that audio that they sent me, I just listened to it today, said something to the effect of that they were plotting against him. And that was in 2018, November 2018. I gave a word about they speaking of the Senate or the religious, the political system was going to plot, was plotting to take him out. Plotting. Well, plotting doesn't sound very honest to me. I mean, I don't know. I'm not using the word cheat, but it could be interpreted as that. That's what I said. That's what came out of my own mouth in 2018, talking about Caligula and Trump. And Trump was, always choosing to win. And there was a time when I gave a word here on the show to him to choose to lose and don't go to the Capitol. Don't go to the Capitol. Do not go to the Capitol. Concede to the Father. I told him here, you guys heard me say it right here on the show, concede to the Father, Donald Trump. doesn't mean you have to concede to their plot against you. But when you concede to the Father, then the Father will take care of you. And all we don't need is a bunch of big men doing things in their own strength and their own energy and winning by their own energy, because that winning always ends up in the hands of man instead of the hands of God. In the very words that came out of my mouth, I'll try to send you the, I'll try to get that audio out here in the next day or so, so you can listen to it. That was in 2018, that they were going to plot it against Donald Trump. And the thing is that in the word I had, I said, pray, because in the plot against Caligula, he was in office for 3 years and 10 months. And that's exactly what happened to Trump. They voted him out, so, or they plotted him out after 3 years and 10 months. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I've talked about this many times. That word was actually sent to me today, so I don't even know where they got it from or how they got it, because, you know, it was edited and everything as far as the beginning and the end of the show. It just kind of, you know, got the main meat of the thing. And you know, of course, it was me, and I know it was me. I was listening to him talk about that. And, wow, it was amazing. I said, Lord, thank you. Because they did plot. But the thing is, there's a lot more to it than their plot. But it does reveal through that word that they did plot against him. And just like in Caligula's situation, they won that plot. So let's Let's take our callers tonight. We've got Nikki and Charles said Nikki's in the hospital. So we're going to take that call right now and see what's going on with her. Let's do that right now. Let's take Nikki and Charles and see what's going on. Charles just literally texted me and told me. All right, let's go here. All right, 863-605. You guys are in the hospital?
Yeah, Randy. Charles is at home.
What's going on?
I was rushed to the emergency room Sunday. I was bleeding real bad, but the pain got to me, and I said, I can't do it no more. So when I got here, they discovered that infected gallbladder, and so they started pumping me full of IVs and, you know, antibiotics and all that. And then they referred me to a surgeon because they discovered I had a gallstone in the mouth of my gallbladder. And so then they did like a CAT scan, and the surgeon came in the next day and he's like, I'm not really concerned about your gallbladder as much as I am your appendix. And I was like, what? Appendix? And he's like, yeah, well, I don't feel very comfortable with the pictures, so I'm going to put a different CAT scan in for you. We're going to do contrast through the mouth and the IV. And then when they did, they came in this morning, the surgeon did, and he said, none of that other stuff matters. He said, I've seen your uterus, and your uterus doesn't look right, and I'm referring you to an OBGYN. She came in. She said, I'm going in tomorrow to scrape your uterus. And she said, and if there's no cancer in there, we can do two things. And she said, one is a complete hysterectomy to stop the bleeding. Or two, we can burn it and kind of watch it. She said, but because your mother has history, she said, oh, I don't really recommend that one. And I was like, what? She's like, well, you know, you're 50 and your kids are grown, and it'd just be better for you. So I've been laying here in pain. And for the first 3 days I was here, I couldn't eat. And so the nurse went to go get me some grilled chicken right now. And then I can't eat after 12 tonight, and I'll be rushed in the morning into surgery. And the first surgery takes about an hour, and then the second surgery takes anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. So
wow.
I'm fixing to go into two surgeries. Either way I look at it.
So they're saying that the bleeding is coming from your, if you get a hysterectomy, that'll stop that?
Yeah, it'll stop it all. And I bleed
so bad. Yeah.
So, you know, it's got to stop. And usually, this is what the OBGYN told me. She said usually women, this happens to them, and they ignore it. In other words, they don't do nothing about it. And eventually, what happens is it turns into cancer, and that's why so many women die. Because the blood dries up in a short period of time. But for you, the blood never dried up. And I was like, you know, that was just God. Because the blood is the reason why they found bladder cancer. The blood is the reason why they found that big thing inside my colon. The blood is the reason why I'm still in a hospital right now. If it had dried up, I would have never went nowhere because I'd have thought I was okay.
Right.
So
right.
I'm grateful. I'm real grateful. She said it's extremely unusual that you would bleed this long and this hard. And she said, and you're not anemic. She said, that is very unusual.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
And
all I could do
was cry because I know that it's the prayers of the saints that has moved the hand of God. And I know that.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I just makes me want to rejoice because, you know, and I know that one of the nights I was praying over you, and I saw, you know, a garment like blood. Remember that? The blood red garment?
Yeah.
And I still don't understand that one, but it's like it had something to do with the blood. And of course, you know, I didn't know what it meant. I'm trying to find an interpretation of that, but I don't know, maybe that's what God was trying. I don't know what he was trying to say exactly, but I kept seeing this garment were like blood red, and I told you, and you commented on that. And I'm going like, well, maybe that's, I don't know. I'm not an interpreter of things, so I don't know what that meant. But so the fact that you kept bleeding instead of stopping bleeding, it's turned out to be a great thing because they're going to go in and take the. I've had several friends have had. My spiritual mom had hers removed when she was about that age too. I think she was more like 55 or so. But she had hers removed, and I remember all that, you know. And I stayed in the hospital with her and just tried to stay there and visit, and it was a difficult time. But that fixed a lot of things when she got that taken care of.
Yeah, that's what she told me. She said, you'll feel a lot better. All the swelling, my body's retained over 40 pounds. I'm bloated.
Oh,
like, oh, yeah, I look bad. I can't wear no shoes. I can barely breathe because the liquid in my body, it's blowed my stomach up so bad where I had really large underwear for my periods and stuff, and they're so tight on me. And now I'm glad, though, because tomorrow – all that liquid will go away, hopefully, or maybe you know, if they could do everything in one day and be done with it, that'd be awesome.
But they said
we're going to do this in two surgeries because we want to make sure that things are what they are, you know.
Right, right. Okay, so they checked all that out and they said that you're bleeding. You should have at least been anemic with all the bleeding you're doing, and you have never been anemic, and you kept bleeding.
Nope.
So that's amazing. Just that one thing alone just shows you something was going on with you bleeding. So, wow.
Yeah.
that's mind-boggling.
Yep.
I just love
the people. You know, God put some beautiful people in my life, and they have prayed for me. And you're one of them at Blog Talk, the whole PGN family. I just love y'all, man. Y'all are faithful. You're sincere. And you really do touch the hand of God.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
We should be crying. I should be crying instead because I'm a crier too, you know. But I just want to laugh about this. It's like I remember the first time that you're – that you told me about this, something about what your daughter said. I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't good, you know. And I remember just, like, laughing. I said, why am I laughing about this? Which always, you know, I'm pretty sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you know, I think, most sometimes. And it's like, I'm saying, Lord, what's going on with this? And it's like, he was just showing me that there's something good going on, something beautiful happening. And I don't understand it all, but so it's just the opposite of what we do in the world, I think. I don't know, but. Man, you have been through a roller coaster ride on this one, girl. That has been mind-boggling. How long has that bleeding been going on? For like a year?
Over a year.
Wow.
But,
I remember at least a year, yeah.
Yeah, it's been over a year. May 6th was my bladder cancer surgery, and they got all of it.
Oh.
And I'm free from cancer. I just love this. You know, I have such wonderful testimonies. All because of the blood. All because of the blood.
The blood. The blood.
The blood. Yes.
Lord, we're losing our minds. We're laughing about the blood. It's like, what is this thing? Yeah. This is like Holy
it's
Ghost
wonderful.
Crazy stuff, man. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. You just. We're laughing. Oh, I'm going to get some operations. Oh, that's so funny. Hallelujah. You know, like, what's up with that? Like, oh, my gosh. This is
I don't know.
That's a testimony
to
that stuff.
It sure is, and I just feel so at peace. And I love it that they're going to take care of it now. It's the last thing. It's the last thing, Randy. I've been on this health journey. Yep. Yeah.
Sweet Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Yeah, this has been a long run. I remembered at least a year. That's why I said a year, and I'm not very good at remembering times and stuff. But I think it's been going on at least a year. So you confirmed that. That's amazing. Wow. Well,
yep.
Thank you, God. Yeah. So the whole blood. I never forget the night I saw that. I've never seen a garment blood red before. I mean, it was like it had blood in it. It's like it was, you know, it was like it was soaked in blood. And I'm going, God, what does that mean? You know, what is this? You going to give her a revelation about the blood of Jesus and about the blood of Christ? Yeah, that too. And everything else in between, whatever that would be, I don't know. But my gosh, girl, that's like mind-boggling. That's absolutely mind-boggling. And we're sitting here giggling about this. I mean... This is like crazy. I know I talked to you and Charles not long ago, and we were, you know, discussing a difficult situation. And I'm sitting there, why do I get on the phone with Nikki and Charles when they're going through a hard time? And I said, you know what, we're going to be laughing about this. And we don't even wait to laugh when it's all over. We're laughing right then. I'm going, what is this with her and him? I mean, they're like, what do they do to me? I don't know what it is. It's just
Listen,
amazing.
That's it right there. You know what? I think you were the one that taught me that. As a matter of fact, I know it is. You said that Jesus sits in the heavens and laughs at the devil. And then you gave a scripture on it. And ever since then, when something has been so hard, and I know that it's going to take a hand of God to do something about it, I just laugh.
Yeah.
That's the only reaction I can have. Throw a party and start laughing.
Yeah.
Because
I can testify to that. I can testify to that because, I mean, you don't laugh when somebody's going through a hard time. I don't laugh when somebody's. I want to cry. I want to like be somber, and it's like. And so just like, you know, just a few days ago, you know, you guys, we were talking on the phone in a difficult situation. And I'm just going, you know, we're going to be laughing about this pretty soon. And then I didn't get the heart out of my mouth, and we were laughing already, and it wasn't even settled or anything. You know, it's like it's right in the middle of it. I'm going, oh, my God, you know. And so I've seen this happen with you guys many, many times. I mean, this isn't just once or twice. It's like a pattern, man. It's like a...
Yeah.
You
know what it is, don't you?
No.
In these days that are coming, He's getting his children ready for the impossibles. And either you're going to stand and laugh in faith, knowing that God's in control, or are you going to sit there and worry or try to do it in the flesh? Which one is it?
Yeah.
You got a choice.
Right.
And that's just it. I've come to the conclusion, you know, first off, God's not going to put no more on us than we can handle, but he also is going to work us to the place where we can be built up and be strong. You know, resistance builds muscle, Randy. And we're warriors. We're warriors for Jesus. And I just love it. We're just warriors, man. There's no wimps allowed. I've always said this, not in God's crowd. You're not. You cannot be a wimp and, you know, and lay down and just, I can't do it. No, no. His spirit alone doesn't allow you to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
He keeps resurrecting you right back into the fight again. No, God, I don't want to go back to that fight. Dear God. Resurrection power. Boom, I'm back in the fight. Oh, my God. I'm back in the fight. Yeah, I get knocked out again. No, I can't go back. Please don't send me there. Resurrection power. Boom, back again. You know, kind of like kind of like the Sylvester Stallone in, what was that name of that movie? I don't remember the name of the movie, but, you know, he just
Rocky,
he got beat up so bad. I mean, he got beat up, and everybody knew he's going down, man. All of a sudden, you see that look in his eye, and I mean, he'd be coming back. And the guy who just knew he was going to win beat Rocky, all of a sudden, he sees that look in his eye, and he's blood all over his face. He's beat up, he can't really see anything. And he just comes back, boom, 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 finally knocks him out, knocks out the other guy, you know. And Rocky wins. It's just like, it's just that tiger, that we're going to call it not the tiger in your eye, but the resurrection in your eye.
That's right.
That's for sure.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know?
Could you imagine?
Yeah, go ahead. No. Can you imagine what?
Could you imagine the look in Jesus' eye, you know, when he resurrected from the dead, compared to Rocky, you know, talking about the tiger in the eye? You know, because everybody, they finally nailed him. You know, of course, God let it happen, and it's like he's going down this time, kind of like Rocky. You know, he's down, he's out. No, he's dead, man. He's been dead for 3 days, and then all of a sudden, you know, he comes raising up out of that tomb and the grave, and they just like and that look in his eye, man. You know, and I just thought about this for the first time. When you look at Revelations, where John the Revelator saw Jesus in the midst of it, he said he had white hair and he had that fire in his eyes, right? What was that? That was the resurrection power in his eyes. You can knock me out. You can even kill me. But I'm coming back. You know, I'm going to come back. So I'm telling you. Gary Mary sent this. She said, just as the woman, with the issue of blood, touch the hem of Jesus' garment, the power of God, so your faith in him has healed you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's from Gary and Mary. Amen. So you got
absolutely
people praying
thank
for you.
Yeah.
Over Pentecost. Oh, yeah, over Pentecost. Right.
That's right. That's when I went in. On Sunday.
Oh, you went in on
Pentecost.
You went in on Pentecost?
Yes.
Gary,
I did.
Did you hear that? She went in on Pentecost. Over Pentecost, he says. Now I understand what he's saying.
Yep.
Like, I get so dumb about this stuff, I can't keep up. Yeah, and he goes, wow. That,
yep.
Oh, my gosh.
All because of the blood.
because of the Passover. That's right.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Ain't no death
coming
to this door.
That's right. We got the blood, brother.
That's
we got
right.
We're blood brothers. We got the blood, brother. Sister, don't
forget
Iris that, man.
Been praying. She's a sweet woman. Miss Iris been praying for me.
Oh,
I just love her. She's a sweet, sweet baby, I tell you. I've known her for 23, 25 years. And she's one of those friends that you never, you always have in your life, you know. And she's just sending all kinds of prayers and I feel every one of them. I'm telling you, every time I think about it, it makes me want to cry, Randy. how wonderful people are, that God has put in my life. I'm just like overwhelmed, yeah, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, it's just God.
That's
beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful,
yeah,
beautiful.
I have
Jesus
people
speak.
Praying all over the world for me. You know, my daughter's in Germany.
Yeah.
I just have people everywhere, Tennessee, all over the place. You wouldn't believe it. Texas. You know,
yeah.
I have all kinds of ministries where I live. It's just amazing.
Awesome.
I'm just
That's
so
awesome.
Humble. Yeah, I'm just so humble.
Yeah,
and because me and Charles, we never burn bridges. Like, we don't. We just love people. We move around when God tells us to. And we make sure we don't burn no bridges with people. And Charles said, we had a pastor that licensed and ordained us, and we were deacons in the church of his church. And God gave me a dream. I had to move from the church. I had to go somewhere else. But anyways, before I left, I had to tell the pastor. And, I mean, I was close to this man. And so Charles, the day I went in, he was moving around doing things in the house, and he accidentally dialed this man, which is not normal. Like, we don't go to church.
Yeah.
We haven't been in church in a long time. And he's like, oh, Charles called me, and he loves us. He loves me and Charles. And so he says, he goes, oh, he must have pocket dialed. No, he couldn't have pocket dialed me, because we don't call him often. We should, right? And so he calls back. He's like, hey, Charles. And he's like, hey, pastor. Like, he was shocked, like the pastor's calling him, you know, because we still call him pastor. And he's like, hey, pastor, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. What is going on? And Charles like, duh, 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 duh.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow. He's like, okay, I guess God wants me to tell you. And so we tell him, and he tells Covenant Church is the name of it, Covenant Center. And he's like, okay, I'm going to tell my people. You know, they all know us. They all love us. And so I have different churches, ministries, Jeremiah Johnson's church, they're praying because I'm on their prayer team. And I got the war room. I got the war room praying for me. They're at that church. And then, you know, you went to Debbie and Danny's church, the Harvest Time Ministry.
Right, I did.
Okay, well, they're praying for me. They've been feeding the poor. They've been feeding a lot of people, Randy. Their church, they moved from out of Lions Club, and they went into their own church, and God's, like, really moving on their behalf. Thank you so much.
That is awesome.
So, yeah. It's
yeah, those
just,
are sweet
I'm
people.
Just,
I've been there. I think I was there a couple times. Yeah, they're really, really sweet people.
Yeah. And they're the real deal, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
They're the real deal. But and I love them, and I've been close to her. The day I got delivered, right, it was very dramatic, by the way. She was sitting in front of me. Like, or behind me. Like, she saw the whole thing. It was like a movie right in front of her. And she said that, I just got this passion for you, Nikki, after I seen all them demons leave out of your eyes, girl. And she's like, and we have been close ever since. And she's somebody that's always been in the church. And she never done nothing wrong. And here I am.
Oh, really?
This wild woman. And she's like 64 years old. And when she come down to the altar to say hey to me, I was looking at her, and I was an ex-drug addict, and I just delivered from demons. And she's like, hi. And she's this little petite woman. You know what she looks like.
Yeah.
And she's
yeah.
so sweet. She's like an angel. And she comes sat down next to me. I didn't even know how to react to her because she's just so, you know, she had the presence of God on her. And she's like, I would love to get to know you. I'm like, no, you don't, lady. You're too holy for me.
You
know,
don't
that's
where
I went. Hey, but you know what? God put us together, and we are the best. I mean, we just love each other, and I've learned so much from her. She was the person that always did right by God and all that, and her grandma was a preacher, her mom was a preacher. You know, she's always been in the church, and I was like, you know, I often wanted to be like you, like you know, my life always be in the church. And so God gave me a friend that was exactly like, you know, and so she's taught me her ways. And we go into bridges, like where women come out of prison and stuff. And she's like, okay, Nikki, you got to teach me the street. So I've been teaching her street stuff. And it's so cool, Randy. We go on the bridge and them girls be like, what's this little angel doing up in here? They all know she ain't never been on the street or nothing, right? And she come from a fine home. And I'm like, hey, yo, y'all need to really listen to this lady. You don't know, don't be judging a book by its cover, you know, because trust me, she's got the good.
She's a real thing.
Yeah, she's the real deal. And we worked so good together, and we did that for over a year. And then women, they lined up. I want to be next, because we could only mentor like two or three at a time. And they would be, they would have, there was a list for me and her. So it was just beautiful, you know, how God would take two opposite people and just put us together. Yeah. Like, and we, it's just God. But anyways, I'm yakking.
That is awesome. She, I know I've been to her church twice, and man, the love of God and the purity of the Lord in that place was just amazing. Yeah, I know. I never forget that. So I know exactly. I don't know what you're talking about, but I know she's a sweetheart. And, yeah, the opposite do attract. I mean, that happens in a lot of ways. So it's really cool that you guys. And one of the messages I wanted to preach tonight was the positive and the negative, you know, of what makes the gospel. Yeah, you know, Reinhard Bonnke is the one that first turned me onto that many, many years ago, watching him on TV, you know. He talked about the gospel is positive and negative. And so I was going to preach on that. I was going to talk about that tonight. I ended up talking about fertilizer. And so I had this whole thing that God's been showing me to why we don't have the power of God as much as we need to. And so, that's what I just thought about when I heard you talking about you, her and you. I don't know which one's negative, which one's positive, but you got opposites, you know. And so it's amazing that how the, you know, that's what makes a battery powerful. That it has to have a negative and a positive post, and without that, it doesn't work. It doesn't power anything. So it's just I just saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, she told me. Well, she's a dreamer, and the Lord showed her that me and her would be going to the Philippines together, and that I would walk in an apostolic anointing. And I was like, okay, she dreams like 5 or 6, 7 times a night, and she's got a book, and she's on dreams. She's full of wisdom, but she's a deliverance ministry. Yeah, the Lord really brought her into a deliverance ministry, which is powerful. She's the real deal.
That's amazing.
Anyways,
need more of the real deal, Jesus. Cool.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad we went down that little road. That was awesome. I love that. And especially since I know those people too a little bit. But awesome. Well, so in the morning, got all that going on. Everybody pray for Nikki and Charles. You know, it's a difficult thing. And we're all sitting here laughing about it. That's just totally contrary to what we should be doing. It's just amazing. Oh, my God. You know,
Randy,
when
you're in Christ, it's a win-win no matter what happens. It's a win-win situation. And I think that is where he wants us to realize, you know, either I'm God or I'm not. Come on now. And
right. Yeah.
And there's peace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Go ahead, Randy.
Nothing. I don't have much. I'm just like, this is awesome. I feel the anointing all over this. I feel better myself, and I should. And you're the ones in the hospital, you know, like going, what's up with this thing? Like, oh my God, you know. But I'm going to just soak it up any way I can get it. I'm just like everybody else. I want everything I can get, and I want to soak it up for Jesus, and I want to be around that blood mantle, that blood, you know, garment, that blood garment. I always want the blood. Man, we need to have that blood garment on, y'all. That blood garment. Is without the blood, brother, we are like messed up. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's no
life.
Thank you, Jesus. That's for sure. There's no life.
Yeah. And his life or his DNA was in his blood. And that DNA is now ours. That's what's amazing to me. I mean, I'm getting more on that all the time, but we'll talk about it more in the future. But
yeah,
all
right. She was trying to talk to me about blood pressure, but anyways, yeah, you're right, Randy.
Well, Kelly, we're talking about the blood. You can talk about your blood pressure later. Yeah.
I got the man of God on the phone.
Yeah, there you go.
He said, tell her we could talk about the blood pressure later, but we're talking about the blood of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Yeah.
She's a young, sweet baby.
Some of the strongest women I've known, I mean, I know a lot of women and men that are strong in the Lord, but some of the wildest, faithful, loyal women, you're one of those, of course, and just, you know, wild to the Lord, not hot, not cold, but hot or cold. It's like it's one or the other. It's never in between or anything. And it's like, I love that. And just like that lady we talked about, what, I give that word to her in a little town in Texas, Monahan, Texas, little old town near Midland, Odessa. Esther and Vic Lambert, she showed up at one of my meetings there, and I gave her a word. I prophesied to her that I saw, you know, explosions going off all around her, right? And she looked at me like, you know, this guy, he's like, this can't be right. Not, you know, I mean, but she was so sweet, and she received it. And she said, I don't know what that means. You know, she was just like, I don't know what that means. Bombs going off around me. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. I didn't know what they wanted me to tell them. I said, I don't know what it means. I'm just a messenger boy. You know, and so just recently they've been bombing Tel Aviv, you know, in Israel. And so her husband was drilling oil in Israel. In fact, her husband drilled the first oil well in Israel. It came out dry, but in the Dead Sea area, but they were the first ones. So I just connected all that the other day, just kind of felt like, oh, my God. All of a sudden, she goes to visit her husband in 1991, who was drilling more oil wells there in Israel for Zion Gas. And this is like 2 years later, I think, something like that. I don't know the exact timing on it. And all of a sudden, Saddam Hussein decides to bomb, you know, Israel, and she's in Tel Aviv, and the bombs are going off all around Tel Aviv. And she's got rented an apartment there, you know, to be there with her husband for until, you know, whatever, after Christmas and then maybe January, February. I don't remember when she came back. And she said, Randy, when those bombs started going off all around me, because she called me up. This is an old lady just turned on to Jesus. She was like I was in my 30s at the time. I think she was like in her 60s, and that was old to me back then. And she called me up. She said, you're not going to believe this. She said, that word you gave me, came to pass. I was in Tel Aviv visiting Vic. And she said, as you know, the whole world knows that it was bombed by he was bombing Israel with poisonous gas. So that's what they thought. He said, they came to my room, Randy. It sounds just like you when I hear you talk. They came to my room, Randy. You know what? They opened up the door and they said, ma'am, you're going to have to handed me a mask. And said, there's bombs going off all around. He said, yeah. And they're supposed to be poisonous gas and those things. You need this mask. And she says, you know what I told him, Randy? I said, well, I can only guess. She said, sir, I have a word from God. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to a bomb shelter. I got a word from God. Not a hair on my head's going to be touched. I mean, in Israel, and literally bombs are going off all around her. This woman, she reminds me of you a lot. That's what I hear. When I hear you talk and the spirit that you have, the same thing with this lady. I will never forget her. She's dead now. She's like 100 and something when she died. And she said, Randy, she said, you know, I went back. I went to bed. I put the gas mask. I didn't put the gas mask on. I put it beside my bed there, and I just went to sleep. I said, girl, you got to be kidding me. That's amazing. Oh, my gosh, because when I gave you that word, I didn't have a clue either. I didn't know what it meant. She says, yeah, well, it came to pass, Randy. I went, that's amazing. She said, not a hair on my head was touched. I went, well, that's what the Lord said, right? She said, you doggone right, that's what he said. And that's exactly what happened, what the Lord said. That's what the Lord said. I went, that's awesome, man. And, girl, as you're talking and I'm hearing you talk, it's like I'm hearing that lady's voice through you for some reason. I don't know why that's going on with me, but. But it's amazing when you hear faith in people, when you hear I'm sold after Jesus. That's what she was. She was sold after Jesus, man. I mean, that woman was sold out to Jesus. And so she just, and she didn't care what anybody thought about what she said. Just like she showed that guy that came to her door. She said, "Sir," and this was an official trying to get them into, you know, into the bomb shelter, and a special bomb shelter because it was supposed to be poisonous gas in these bombs. And she said, "Sir, you know," I said, I'm not going to no bomb shelter. I got a word from God." I said, "Girl, I'm surprised you remembered that word. It was like 2 years." She said, "Yeah, I never forgot it, Randy. I just kept waiting for it to come to pass. Didn't even know what it was." I go, "Oh, my God, you're amazing." And that's what I'm hearing in your voice tonight. Yeah, that wild faith, beautiful faith for Jesus. You know, sold out. When I say wild, I mean sold out. You know, "I don't care, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do what you want me to do." And you don't hear that in everybody's voice. You don't hear that in everybody's voice, girl. So it's, I congratulate you and Charles.
You know, it's strictly God. You know, it's strictly God. But I've been through so much in my life. I think that's where I was talking about the resistance of Bill's muscle and all. Look, you've been through as much as I've been through. You might as well just throw up your hands. You might as well just sell right on out. I mean, what's the difference? You're either going to sit there and be scared in the unknown and blah, 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 or you just going to say, "Okay, I serve a God. He's real.
Yeah.
He's realer than the life I live here. And he comes here and he shows himself, you know. And, you know, he's brought me out of so many things. He's been so faithful. I mean, I can't even imagine any other solution. He's always been the answer, and I've always seen him move. He's faithful."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he is.
He's the real deal.
He's the real deal. He's got some real deal people that are real deal, just like he's a real deal. He's the real deal.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, this is awesome, man. Oh my gosh. Well, I just wanted to, I'm glad you had Charles contact me, because I didn't know you were in the hospital. I don't know what's going on. But what we're fixing to go through, I think the reason God's having you share this and the spirit of this and this whole thing about Israel being bombed and the fact that I gave a word at the time, I didn't know her. I didn't even know them. Right? I didn't know them. They see me in churches. I'd gone to churches in that little town and ministered and just prophesied to, I don't know, bunches and bunches and bunches and bunches of people. And they would be there in the meetings. I never knew them. You know, I see a lot of people. I don't get to know them. And she came to that meeting. And so she said, "I've been coming to your meetings at other meetings." I said, "Oh, okay, good to have you." And I started prophesying to her. And I'm telling you, man, it was just that whole thing, the fact that they've been bombing Tel Aviv in Israel the last few days, whatever, however long it's been, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 days from now since they've been doing that. But I started thinking about it all again. I said, "God, why is Esther's testimony just ringing in my ears right now? Why is this ringing inside of me?" He said, "Randy, that woman and people like her that are the real deal." He didn't say the real deal, but that are the real deal. This is what we're going to see come to manifest in this season, where what we're talking about, we're going to go through a lot more than people think. There's going to be bombs going off all around us, but guess what? God's going to protect you, friend. There's going to be bombs going off all around you, and God's going to keep you safe. You're not going to need a mask. I'm not saying don't wear one, but I'm just saying you're not going to need a mask because God, you know what? God's going to give you such peace, like Nikki's talking about tonight. He's going to give you such – he's going to protect you with his word. God, help me. And get ready, because God's love and his protection over his people, if you only knew how jealous he is over protecting you, if you only knew, friend, how jealous God is to watch over you because you're his beloved. And he wants to show it to you. So he's going to allow you to go through things that are going to be way beyond your ability to understand what's going on. Like, oh, Yes, ma'am, a little town in Texas. I'm getting a prophetic word. I see bombs and explosions going off all around you. But don't worry, ma'am. Not one hair on your head's going to be like, what the heck does that mean? You know, 2 years later, boom, 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 boom. Bombs going off all around her. She remembers that word. She goes, you know what? I got a word from God before she even told that guy. She said, I knew I had a word from God. And when he came to the door, I was already ready for him. No, I got a word from friend. Let me tell you something. If you'll listen to the word of God, if you will listen to the word of God and hear the word of God, God wants to protect. Don't be this person who goes, oh, I hope God, you know, takes me out of all this stuff. No, he wants to show you how much love and protection he has for you, to watch over you in the midst of all hell going off. All Psalms 91, it's going to go off all around you, but it's not going to come nigh your dwelling. Why? Because you are his bride. You are the love of his life, and he's jealous over showing the whole world. He was showing the whole world through Esther Lambert from Montez, Texas, visiting Israel in the middle of a bomb raid from Saddam Hussein, that he says, I've got a testimony that if you'll just believe me, I'll tell you that I'm going to protect you from bombs going off all around you before you even go there, because I know what's going to happen before it happens. And I'm going to tell you now, you're going to be protected. Don't let anybody tell you you're not going to be protected, friend. Oh, that wrath, it's going to be so bad. We're going to have to be out of here for that. No, there ain't no wrath, no nothing, no devil's wrath, no God's wrath. Don't let that lying slime bag devil tell you that nonsense, because it is a lie from the pits of hell. And he's going to protect you and keep you and watch over you just so he can show the world, just like he did in Egypt when he showed the whole world, that watch me take care of the devil and all these gods. Watch me do it. And watch my people be right there in Egypt, right in the middle of it, and watch me go off everywhere and destroy them, bring them down, those gods who think that they're God, those idol worshipers who I'm going to bring down their God before them, and they're going to wish they had never mentioned their names by the time I get through with it. But my people who are called by my name, you're going to be protected. You're going to be kept. In fact, I'm going to put you right in the middle of it, just like I did in my Israel, and I'm going to let the bombs go off all around you, and you're going to go to bed and go to sleep and put your mask on the side of the table there by the bed, and you're going to go to sleep and be at peace and sleep with Jesus. Hallelujah. On the pillow of his love and protection. And God Almighty is watching over you, friend. He's just looking for an opportunity for all hell to break loose so that he can show the world, no, you're not going to touch my babies. Uh-uh, not my Esther. No, not my Nikki. No. You're not going to touch, you're not going to take them down. No, that's my babies, and I'm going to protect them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, now I'm getting all worked Woo. Up, and I'm supposed to be prophesying to people. Woo, yeah, go ahead.
Hallelujah, Randy. I felt the anointing on that. Shoo! Now I'm fixing to have church up in here. You let another nurse come up in here. It's on. I'll start praying for every church and every nurse that comes in here. I feel the fire of God on me. Yes, I do. Hallelujah.
Wow. Lord, yeah. We just loosen this fire. We loosen this fire, God. Go ahead and just loosen the fire, Nikki. Loosen the fire.
Lord, I just thank you right now. Loosen the fire, your fire, God, on your people. God, I thank you, Lord, for your glory. Lord, I ask that you would send your people where they could get the fire on other people, that this would spread, Lord, and let revival start. Let the people, your people, see your glory, God, and give them peace that passes all understanding in the midst of their storms, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for wisdom and understanding and knowledge from you, God. and that we our ears would be tuned to you, to where you want us to go and what you want us to do and who you want us to speak to. Lord, we thank you. We're going to sing praises to your name no matter what it looks like. And we're going to say yes and amen to you. And Lord, I just break off any kind of fear that would try to come up upon your people. Lord, I just thank you right now that the blood of Jesus is over us and your mighty hand is strong and it's not short. And that you're more than enough, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise. And we thank you, Lord, that you're faithful.
Yeah. Hallelujah. You're faithful. Don't let the enemy tell you that God is not faithful. No matter what you're going through, I don't care how bad it gets. It may get worse than it's ever been, but in the days of Egypt, the Bible says it was worse than it ever been and ever will be. Now, I don't know if that means that it's going to be worse now than it was then, but how much worse can it get, friend? I mean, Israel, Egypt was being plagued, one plague after the other. And it wasn't a happenstance, and it wasn't just like, oh, well, yeah, who let the plague in? Was it China? Who was it? No, they knew exactly who let the plague in. It was God, and God made it very plain. I'm the author and the finisher of these plagues. You know why I'm going to show you that? Because I'm going to send Moses in, and he's going to talk to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, no, you can't I'm not going to let your people go. He said, well, by this time tomorrow, the frogs are going to be everywhere, in your ovens, everywhere, in your house, all over the place. It's just like there's no protection for you. And so what happened? The next day, the frogs came in, started infesting everything, went everywhere. And finally, Pharaoh goes, oh, please, Moses, can you stop the frogs from coming in? Moses goes, okay, let them stop. And then the frogs stopped, and they died, and they stunk up the joint big time, all of Egypt. And then the next time Pharaoh refused, no, the plague didn't start because, oh, who sent that? China? Who did that? Where'd that come from? Everybody's trying to figure where the plague came from. You know what, friend? What you need to understand is that there's somebody in control of all this stuff, and it ain't the devil. And it happens to be that his name is Yeshua, the Son of the Living God, and he knows exactly how to bring things to an end. And he doesn't need your permission. Or you try to figure out, well, was that from the wet market? Or did that just come from, was that some kind of something going on in the laboratory? We can't figure it. They spend all the time blowing their mind trying to figure out where it came from. Well, that's cool. I hope they do. But you know what? What we got to look at, friend, is what God's doing in the midst of all this stuff. Who cares about what China's doing? God is bigger than China. God is bigger than the system, and he's going to let the system raise its ugly head to the full. And you and I are going to be right here. We're not going nowhere. We're going to watch the temple be built. We're going to watch the Jews come in. We're going to be right there. God's going to use us. We're going to watch the two witnesses go at it. And we're going to see the glory of God, the fire of God protect us, because God says, I'm going to let it get worse than it's ever been, ever, ever, ever. And guess what? Where I'm going to get the glory. The glory is I'm going to protect you in the midst of it. I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to keep you, and I'm going to watch over you, and my fire is going to be all around you. And believe me, the animals can't come out when the fire's burning. And the Spirit of God says, cleanse yourself from those unclean teachings. Cleanse yourself from that false teaching that God's not the God of all and everything and every circumstance, and all things are possible. Not some things, not most things, not, oh, all the way up until the end. No, it's all the way through. And God's going to take you through it. He's going to watch you over you like his little baby doll, like his child. He's going to watch over you. Let God arise. And let his enemies be scattered. It's not the other way around, my friend. God arises in you and me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That glory is fire. And when that fire is burning around the church, around the Christians, around the beloved of God, when it burns, that glory is going to be known as the protection of the Father. And anything that tries to get near it, it's the thorns and thistles, it's going to burn it up. That's why they're not going to come near you, friend, because they're going to be afraid of you. Hallelujah. Are there going to be martyrs, that kind of thing? Yes, there's going to be some leaders are going to die. Some things are going to happen. It's just like the book of Acts. And the book of Acts was the glorious church of Jesus Christ being raised up with his power and his might, flowing like a river through ordinary, everyday people like Stephen, not just the apostles, like Stephen and women and men who flowed in the power of God. Guess what? It's going to be the same way. Not any different. Read your Bible and quit listening to these people tell you this nonsense. God's with you. He's in you. He's going to show you. You're going to walk in his glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Get ready for that, friend. Get ready. I can't believe we turned this into a preaching, teaching, revelating time. I don't know what happened exactly. But, oh, my God, my Lord and my God. All right, Nikki, I'm trying to move on, man. It's hard to move on when all this stuff starts happening, all this stuff about Esther and happened 2 years ago. Look, go ahead. Let's what?
It's PGN.
Yes.
You can do what you want.
That's right.
You can do what you want. God made sure of that.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So people are responding a little bit here and there. Okay. So I guess we're going to take some callers here now. I don't know if we're finished with that or not, but we'll be praying for you, girl. Thank you for letting me know what's going on. And we will be believing. Thank you for stirring me up. And you remind me of Esther. And Esther was one wild woman for Jesus, man. She didn't care what anybody thought. Like, you know, I don't care what they think, Randy. I mean, she had people.
That's right.
She had people fighting her. I mean, that woman had people fighting her. You know what? She didn't give a rip what any of them thought about anything. Nothing. She wasn't rebellious. She was yielded to Jesus. And her testimony, man, has just been raging through my spirit. And especially say, like I said, I've been balling Tel Aviv, and that's where this all happened. So it's just God stirring some stuff up, man. So get ready. Y'all get ready. And I hear that same voice in Nikki, and I want to hear it in everybody. I'm sure it isn't all of us, but let it come forth. Don't let fear. Fear is what squelches that voice. Fear. You can tell Esther had no fear. When they came to the door and the bombs were literally going off all around her, was supposed to be poisoned with some kind of gas. I can't remember what they called the gas. I could research and find it. But it was very scary. You know what she told him? I've already told you a bunch of times. I'm going to tell you one more time. She said, sir, I ain't going to no bomb shelter. I'm protected from the Most High God. I got a word from God, and he's watching over me. He already told me this is going to happen. Yeah.
I love
Hallelujah.
It. Hallelujah.
All right.
I love it. I just love it.
All right.
Well, thank you, Randy. I love y'all. PG,
thank
and
you,
I
love
y'all.
Love you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. And somebody says here, who is this? This is Lisa from Pennsylvania. She says, tell Nikki, thank you for releasing that fire. She says she received it. Let me get you back on here real quick. I just got this text from Lisa from Pennsylvania. She says, thank you, Nikki, for releasing that fire.
Amen. Glory to God, right? That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm the messenger boy. Even when it comes to that stuff, I try to pass them on the best I can. All right. Let's go here to let's go to another Florida person. I think this is Cheryl from Florida. See what's going on with her tonight. I don't know. Maybe it's Florida night. I'm not sure, but
it sounds like it. Sorry to hear Nikki
yeah.
in the hospital, but glad to hear all of that.
Yeah.
Nikki's a champ. I wanted Nikki to go pray for Robert, but guess she's a little busy right now.
Yeah, well, she may be able to do that, you know, before too long, so maybe you guys can get together, and that would be awesome, man. What a great way to start a revival. You sent me what Cheryl is talking about is her and Nikki both live in Florida, been friends for a long time, and I know you guys used to go and pray for people, and so maybe, I don't know what God's about to do. I'm not going to say, because unless the Lord prophesies to me, I don't know. But your brother has been having real problems. It's like tonight's night to pray for people tonight. I don't know what's going on, y'all. We're gonna just do what the Spirit of God says here. And your brother has had an operation, and his wounds are not healing. Tell us a little bit about that so we can know how to pray.
He's got a gaping wound as almost as big as the top of your head in his belly. He has a bladder bag and a colon bag, and, you know, it's like he has infection. I'm going to put it up so I know the phone messes up. He has an infection. On top of that, there's been negligence in the hospital. We're moving him from Lakeland to Tampa. But we just hit a really big time low, and I had my niece on the phone, and I said, what else are we going to do? But he's living, and he's alive. It's either, you know, you pray one way or the other, or just take him if you're not going to heal him. And it's just like the Spirit of the Lord just said to me, are you going to pray life over your brother or not? So
yeah,
took a turn, and he's getting better, but he's still got this gaping wound. And his protein, his liver's not giving him protein. And we had to tell the doctors to literally give him protein in a bag. So it's just a mess. But he is alive, and he is talking to us, and he's accepted the Lord as his Savior. I feel like he had before. We just went through that prayer.
Kind of renewed it.
To make sure. Yeah.
He's kind of renewed it. And Nikki, Jeannie also says, praying for Nikki, just letting you know, that people send those texts in, Jeannie says she's praying for you. So, yeah, so you actually prayed, kind of renewed the sinner's prayer with him. That was good. You know, it's always good to renew, just the fact that it's good for the person so they can renew themselves and kind of think about, you know.
Yeah.
Cool.
Amen. So they're sending him to Tampa tomorrow, and they're taking him by ambulance. And my niece has a bladder bag herself, so she's been looking over it all. And she is like, I call my family the life force team, because they have held a lot of people accountable. And it's like, this hospital, I don't know what hit them. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, they've been 3 days, they postponed sending him, and we know why. Because they're cleaning things up, if you know what I mean, and getting him better.
Yeah.
So, covering their tracks.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Let's just pray. Let's pray for everybody. Pray for. No, your brother's name again. Remind me your brother's name. Steve or
his name is. His name is Robert.
Robert.
And he's
Robert.
74 years old, and he's just really a sweetheart. He's taking good care of my dad and I. Honestly, in the past few years. So anyway. Let's pray.
Yeah, are you moving around your phone or something? I don't know. I got a lot of phone moving around or something.
Hold on. I'm trying not to. Okay, I had you on speaker. I thought I was up. I'm better now. Is that
really
better?
A whole lot of noise, yeah. There you go. Okay, so let's pray for Robert tonight, y'all. Let's pray for him. 74 years old. That's still young. You know, it's getting on up there a little bit. But, you know, we just thank you, Lord, for that when he gets ready to go out, he's going to go out in grace. He's going to go out in love. He's going to go out blessed. We just pray blessings on him. We pray glory, the glory of God all over him. And maybe you and Nikki get together, and if that happens, you guys can go pray for him. That would be awesome. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for that resurrection life. God, we just thank you that sometimes you just keep resurrecting us, putting us right back into the fight of life again, right back into the fight of of learning and growing and repenting and getting right with you and whatever things you're going to do with Robert, Father, as he grows and learns, in Jesus' name. And he's been such a blessing. We just speak blessings over him right now. Lord, we just speak blessing, maximum blessings over him. Let the max, M-A-X, max, maximum blessings be upon his life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And restore him, God, to fullness. Restore him to the fullness of a man in Jesus' name. And just bless him, God, in Jesus' name. We just come stand in agreement. We're not going to let this thing take him out. God, we're going to let you take him out whenever you want to take him out. And we're not going to let this take him out in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. We just plead the blood and stand on this thing. And we thank you, God, that he is delivered. He is set free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And, give him his life, Jesus. We just declare life over him, giving him his life. Let life, which is in the blood of Jesus. He just renewed his salvation experience. He just renewed that. So we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for a fresh, like when Israel put a fresh blood covenant. They were already saved, or they were already God's children. They've been God's children since Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, it's called Israel. That was God's people. God chose that crew, the Jewish people and the tribes. They were his already, but they renewed that day when the angel of death passed by. It's because they renewed, they put a fresh renewal of the blood of the Lamb over their doorpost. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that that's what Cheryl had them do. That's what I'm kind of seeing what you did there. You brought a fresh covenant. You had him pray the sinner's prayer, if you will, you know, to renew that covenant with God in Jesus' name, to put that fresh blood over the doorpost in the name of Jesus. And we declare life to him, God, that maybe he will be able to take communion or something if he can do that, to eat his body and drink his blood in Jesus' name, like they did in the days of Passover, in Jesus' name for the Pentecost. For Pentecost is now has been upon us in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for delivering the goods. Hallelujah, delivering the goods in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord,
I'm telling you, man. I saw that like Israel put the fresh blood for their renewal of their covenant. They already had a covenant with God, but they freshly renewed it. And that's kind of how God used you. I just kind of saw all that when I was praying for you.
Yeah. He would kind of come. He would go to church, but there'd be, you know, how church is, and there'd be somebody running him off, or something would happen, you know, somebody aggravate him. He's just got he's got a good head on his shoulders, but sometimes that works against us, you know what I mean?
Sure it does, yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, the body of Christ is still the same body of Christ it's always been. Sometimes we've got some people that can really stir us up, man.
Yeah, and try to stir in forgiveness and those sorts of things. And, so we just all need, and when you were talking to Nikki, I was just hearing the Lord just saying, I'm just going to wipe away some of the old and some of the things. I'm going to make, behold, I make all things new. I'm going to wipe away the division and the strife and the jealousies, and I'm going to fit my body together as one. I'm going to put a unity and a bond of peace for the end times is going to come up, and my body is going to be like in communion where they did not discern the Lord's body properly. I heard a prophet one time say that people take communion and they do not discern the Lord's body. That is people. That has to do with people as well, because we are the Lord's body. And we're just going to cry out so much for the glory and for peace and for unity, because in that unity and that peace becomes power. Where two or more are gathered together, the Lord says, I will be in the midst of you. And then he makes all things new, and he drives out the enemy as well. Or he drives out the enemy and makes all things new. I don't know which way he does that, but he does it. So the enemy is going to go. He's going to go away. He has to. When the glory comes in, the enemy has to go out.
Yeah, Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee.
Exactly.
But we have to do it in that. We have to do it in that order for sure. Resist. The only way we can resist the enemy is be submitted to God, and you know, through all of our stuff we go through, every decision we make. Are you submitting to God, or are you submitting to flesh, or yourself, or whatever you're doing? I mean, we all made mistakes with that. Everybody's done it. I've made plenty of mistakes with that. Submitting myself to myself, you know, thinking I'm doing the right thing. And so the Lord says, come on, I'm drawing you in. I'm drawing you in. Come on in. I'm drawing you in. Come on in. It's like I'm hearing the Lord say, like, I don't know if this is what happened with the Israel thing or not, the blood of the doorpost thing, but it's like the Lord saying, opening the door, saying, come on in. It's like it's a time of fellowship. But when they came in the house, the Lord told them, he said, Moses told them, but what the Lord said, he said, you can't be outside. Just because you have to blow the doorpost doesn't mean that you have to be behind the door and behind the blood inside the house. And so I'm hearing the Lord say right now to these people, come inside. Come on in. Come on in. That's the word I'm hearing. Come on in. Lord, I just draw your people on in. We draw Robert in. We draw Nikki in. We draw Charles in. We draw Cheryl in. We draw all the people, PGN people. Come on in to the safe place, to the place where I'm going to protect you, where the place I'm going to watch over you. Hallelujah. I'm going to gather my chicks together. Gather my chicks together. That sounds like, you know.
Yeah, I got it.
You take that several different ways. I'm gathering
That's
my chicks together.
That's what he said over Jerusalem. Yeah.
That's what he said. Yeah, he did
over
say
Jerusalem.
That.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So you,
like
you
a mother
girls,
hen gathers her baby chicks.
Yeah. So you girls have been being called chicks by Jesus before anybody else called you a chick. That's what
they
I was thinking about.
Cool.
They thought they were cool. They thought they had it. Now Jesus was calling us chicks a long time before you guys came along. That's cool. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm feeling. There's a drawing into the house behind the doorpost. That's where the people were. That's where the covenant people were. The covenant people were gathering together. Anybody could have come in that house. Anybody could have been in that house protected. Could have been an Egyptian. It could have been anybody. Anybody could have come behind that house for protection because that's just the way God set it up. He loves the world. He wants the world to come to him, and he's going to show himself mighty. We're going to see the reward of the wicked, and the wicked are not just people who don't like God. The wicked are people who have become wicked, not just heathens, not just nasty mouth, potty mouth people. All you potty mouth person, those are not necessarily wicked people. I mean, yeah, they got a potty mouth. The wicked people are going to be wicked. And a lot of the thing the Lord showed me about the wicked people that we're going to see the reward of the wicked is that at the end time, wicked is going to mean this, that they've had their DNA. They trusted the world system to give them DNA from man, change their DNA, edit their DNA, where they're no longer in the image of Christ, but now they've been changed and transformed into the image of man for his protection, for his answers. And those people, that's when God's going to say, these people, Randy, are wicked because they've chosen deliberately and willfully to have their DNA in the image of man instead of the image of Christ Jesus, who gave his DNA for us. And I'm going to, and they are going to know what they have done. And therefore, you're going to see the reward. Just like Egypt, Israel watched the reward. I mean, he watched, and God wasn't just trying to kill people. That happened a few times with the hail and that kind of thing, but it was the blood of the doorpost. It was the last plague that was speaking to that the plague was coming to Israel. None of the other plagues came to Israel. They went all over Egypt and just Egypt, never in Goshen where Israel was. But this one was different. That God had a solution. Mm-hmm. It's called reestablish your covenant with God.
Yeah.
Don't say, oh, I got a covenant with God. I've been saved for 45 years. I don't care if you've been saved for 1,000 years. Get your rear end on there and dedicate yourself to rededicate yourself to God and get that fresh blood covenant over your doorpost so that when the angel of death comes your way, you don't get sent to heaven early. You get protected by God. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to protect us. That's why he gave us his blood.
I was before you were saying all that, I was hearing come out of Babylon, come out. You know, there was a time where he called his people out of Babylon before he destroyed it, and they had been in captivity. There's a time to come out of the world. There's things we exit, and the world is part of it, and the world system is part of it. And, of course, you're talking about relying on that. It leads you into trouble. It's what we rely upon, and it's what we fashion ourselves. I remember when I owned a salon and years ago, and I was going to have a baby, and I had to quit. And the Lord at that time said, "I'm calling you out of Babylon," and I didn't understand it at the time, but it's a culture thing. And when I was hearing you talk, I was hearing the word culture. I mean, what are you saying? I don't want to get way into this, but I'm hearing blood culture, and I'm hearing culture, and you're talking about DNA. And this is no lie. I was hearing, what are you saying about culture? And Lord, culture, but you think about, they take blood cultures, and then there's a culture that we come out of. And then you start talking about DNA and bloodline. And, know, so God is speaking culture. Come out of the culture of the world as well, and do not. And you're saying, come on in. And you were saying the blood of the doorpost, blood over the doorpost. I'm thinking when I hear the blood is the cleansing that goes on. There's a, there's a lot of stuff that goes on when the blood comes in. We all know that, what the blood of Jesus does. It's the redeeming blood. It's powerful. So there is a lot to say about coming out of Babylon, and that is the last system. The Babylonian system is going to be the prophetic picture of what happens in the end times. The whore of Babylon is the you know what, you guys know what that is. So there you go. You know,
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've got to come out of the world flesh. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Okay.
No, go ahead.
No, we have to be God's people. We have to come out. He calls us out and set apart. And that's what holiness is, to be set apart. And it's to, and you know, my, like, our families don't understand us. We are, but when they come to a place where they're down and out and looking at the face of death, they may still, my brother says, "I've still prayed too long." He'll look over at me. He says, "Are you still praying over there in the corner?" You know, I go, yes, I am, brother. Yes, I am. Yeah. If you saw that gaping wound, you'd be praying too. So, but they need us then. And then we can come out and be bold, and then we can introduce our culture, our God culture, our glory, you know, the blood of Jesus. So, and you prayed for me to have backbone, and I've certainly needed it in this time, because he's big brother. I was a baby born 17 years after my sister and 14 years after my brother. So I'm just baby sister. What does she know? You know?
Yeah.
She's just
right,
a baby.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, I'll let you go.
You,
I know you got lots of callers.
Well, they come and they go. People are calling in, and then they're staying for a little bit, and they, you know how they come and go. Sometimes people have things to do, move on, but they're coming and going. So, but I just do whatever I do. We do whatever we do.
Right.
So people, sometimes have things to go. They have to go to work. They have to go to bed.
Right.
But we always have people in. But thank you, Jesus, for that. We just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for the culture. And thank you, Lord, for opening it up. And we just bless just any opportunity we have for the door to be cracked open for our loved ones, and then we can move right in. We take advantage of that little crack in the door being opened up. Yeah, okay, come on in. Okay, yeah, we're coming in. Come on in. And we just bring our Jesus, and we pray, and we believe God, and we just trust in you, Jesus, to touch them and show them your love. however you choose to do it. You know where Robert's at. You know what he needs, God. And we thank you, Lord, for his body. 74 years old. I know the older I've gotten, the little bit longer it takes for my body to recover from things. Like, I hurt my knee a couple of times. And I thought, man, I loved it because I was being let off at the front of the store. I didn't have to walk through the parking lot. Yeah, I love that stuff. But I hated the fact that my knee was just hurting me. So it took a little bit longer than it used to. But, man, I'm feeling blessed. God's doing me, helping me, and I'm very, very healthy. I got one little minor thing with my lungs where I cough a little bit here and there. But other than that, my body is, like, as far as I know, is, like, really, really in good shape. And I'm thankful for that. And that's been because of the blood of Jesus and walking in the blood, living in the blood, and God's protection over us. He wants to show us he's going to protect us, y'all. All right, sure.
And you take care of your body.
Yeah. I do take care of my body. Right. Good idea.
You take care of yourself.
I'm glad you said that.
And that's part of being holy. I know you're going to move on, but I'm going to tell you that. I'm like,
go ahead.
You say, oh, here she goes with her holy stuff. But that's part of being holy, just taking care of your temple. He said to be you holy. He said, that's my temple. I want you to take care of it. If you do not take care of your temple, he said, I will destroy it. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but it's like God can't have this, like, rundown temple. He wants us taking care of his beautiful body. Right?
Yeah. What a
gift. I know
I'm
overboard, but come on. Look at it, for what it really is. Go ahead.
Yeah, your body is a gift. It's what keeps you. It's what keeps you in the earth, and that's what you walk and live in. Our body's literally the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, we do. I eat really good. You know, every once in a while I'll eat some ice cream. Once in a while, very seldom. You know, but you know, I just take care of my body, and I do a little bit of exercising. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. And do some walking and that kind of thing. And by the grace of God, hopefully that'll keep on going on, and this will be awesome.
Amen.
Yeah, because I have a purpose in my life, and I know what that purpose is, and it's going to be a few more years as that develops. It's developing more and more all the time.
Absolutely.
You know, have a purpose for Israel. We're doing some things there. Got some big things going on there. That I can't, you know, talk about all of it, but I've opened up enough to share with people kind of the general vision that God's given me, and what he's chosen me to do, and it's going to be really cool. And, keep your body healthy best you can.
Absolutely.
All right. Love it, man.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sure. Okay, thank you, too. All right, let's go here to 903-918.
Yes, Michelle from Texas.
Hey, Michelle. All right, Michelle, let's pray for you. All right, it's good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Michelle. God, I thank you, Lord, for the fullness of God, the maturity, the maturity of God, the maturity in her, God, that you're maturing her. She's maturing. She's growing. She's living in you, Jesus, and you're maturing her in so many different ways, like you're doing me. You're maturing me. You're maturing me in my calling. Yeah, there's so many different ways that we get matured, and so, you know, one of the things I tell people, you know, find some way to minister, because even if you're not called to the fivefold ministry, you can start learning how to let the Holy Spirit just speak through you and talk through you, and then you start doing that, and however you do it, and God starts to mature it. It starts to mature. And so I thank you, Lord, for all the different ways that you're maturing her. And that she's like Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Suffering doesn't mean you get knocked around, beat up, and you're bleeding, and you're suffering. You know, suffering just means that, you know, you don't get it perfect. If you got everything perfect, you're not suffering, right? Because everything's perfect. But when it's imperfect, so it doesn't mean you sin. It just means that you know, you're learning and you make a mistake, and you know, mistake's not a sin, failure's not a sin. You know, a sin is just doing deliberately and willfully what God tells you to not do. That's what a sin is. But learning and growing is a whole different thing. And so I see you God really maturing you, showing you how to, in the areas that you're maturing in, and continue that maturing just like I do. I'm always maturing in my growth with God as a prophet, as a servant of God. I'm always maturing and growing in that. How can I reach people better? How can I speak to people better? How can I hear from God better? You know, how can I be a better servant? And the more you yield yourself, Michelle, to be a servant of God, you mature in that. And the more you mature in being a servant, the more God empowers you with his power. That's why when the servants become the greatest, because when you truly become a servant, all the gifts and things that you need to serve with come from God. You're his servant. You're serving. And the more you mature in that service, the more his gifts and the more what's he doing? He's lavishing through you as a person who washes their feet and pours oil on their feet and cleanses them and washes them. And so God using you, because you can't help people without the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So all that maturity. And I thank you, Lord, for showing how to walk in that at a, just like you do me, at deeper levels in Jesus' name. And yeah. And so drawing her into that place of being used by you, God, as a servant, and your gifts and your power flowing through her, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, Michelle, how are you doing?
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Anything you want to pray about or talk about? What's up?
I just want to pray about, I've been having like these headaches, and I just want to pray about that.
All right. And one of the first things I tell people about having headaches, I just went through having headaches a few days. I go, I don't normally have headaches much, but I realized that I was, not drinking enough water. So that's what the Holy Spirit, you know, it sounds really unspiritual, but I'm sitting there going, why do I have a headache? Why do I have this, you know, like all around my head, it's like my head is hurting. It's like, man, I hate to have a headache because I'm such a wimp. When I have pain, I don't do well with pain. And I'm going, God, what's going on? He said, well, he starts having me think, right? That's how he says, well, I start thinking about stuff. And so I started thinking, he said, are you drinking your water? I went, you know what? I haven't been drinking my water like I usually do for the last 2 or 3 or 4 days. And those headaches were, and so as soon as I started drinking water, my headaches went right away. You know, sometimes I've told this story many times about my pastor who his mother was getting older. She went to the doctor, thought she was dying. She was just not feeling good at all. Lord, I'm dying. I got something wrong with me. But she goes to the doctor. They took her through every test in the world. She had plenty of insurance and I think plenty of money. And they took her through every test in the world. I mean, you know, she was tested. Everything about her was tested. So she sits down with the doctor expecting him to tell her she had some diagnosis of cancer or some horrible thing, they have to remove her kidney or something. She didn't know. She just felt horrible. He says, man, he said, you know what your problem is? He says, you only have one problem. You're dehydrated. Go home and don't just drink coffee or juice. Drink water and only drink water. Yeah, you can go to the restroom a little bit more, but drink your water. Your body needs water, just like the earth is a lot of water. Your body needs that water. It needs to be water, not coffee, not tea, not anything, just pure, clean water you can get. Start drinking that water. She started drinking water. She lived, I don't know how long she lived. She lived for quite a while and never had those issues again. And all it was she wasn't drinking water. So I don't know what your deal is, but you might try that out and you might think about that a little bit. But sometimes I forget to drink my water too. And the Lord taught me several years ago, and I've talked about it many times here on PGN, drink your water. I come on the show sometimes and say, I'll be drinking water. I say, don't forget to drink your water, everybody. People say, oh, yeah, I'm so glad you said that. And literally, this is a huge, huge thing. So we thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, we just bless Michelle tonight. You know, we thank you, Lord, for opening her up and showing her answers from the Holy Ghost, from the Holy Spirit, that not everything's spiritual. Not everything, it can be spiritual in the sense that the devil, gets you distracted where you don't drink your water, and that is the devil, but the water is the answer. And so I thank you, Jesus, for this. We thank you, Lord, for making her healthy, making her whole, blessing her, Jesus, and just maturing her, Father, that you're gonna, I think the mature word I'm getting for you is that it's like the Lord is saying that you're going to mature. It's like maturity, meaning you're going to grow old, and you're going to be blessed. In other words, ain't nothing going to take you out, you know, until God's ready for you to go out. And so the Lord says, I'm going to deal with all kinds of fears that try to come against you. At times, like when I had the thing where I was passing out, when I would try to lay down and go to sleep, I would pass out before I hit the bed. I'm going, and then I was, it got so bad that I was standing up and I just moved my head the wrong way. And I start falling back like I'm going to pass out. I thought I had to be real honest with you. I thought I had a tumor or something was really bad wrong. It was a few years ago. And all it was, you know, and I had to literally rebuke the devil. Whenever I was standing in the doorway of the bathroom, and every where I was at, I said, in the name of Jesus, devil, I bind you, lying spirit. I bind you, fear, because it was trying to come on me, and it was doing a pretty good job. And because every time I try to stand out, I'm passing out. I'm falling over. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I did a little YouTube search, and like the Holy Spirit told me to do, and my symptoms. And guess what? There was a lady doctor on there who said, do this, do that, and the other. And I did what she said, and it all went away almost instantly. It was amazing. So my point with all that is that God is trying to help us, you know, get balanced on everything I got to do. I got to go to the doctor, you know, go to the doctor. That lady, that poor woman, she'd been listening to our show. She'd have said she'd been drinking water, and that problem would have went away for her. You know, I don't know what her symptoms were. I don't know if she's having headaches, what she's having. She's just feeling like she was dying. She felt horrible. She felt miserable. And she couldn't think straight and all kinds of things. And but thank you, Lord, for Michelle, God, that she's going to grow. She's going to grow into a full-aged woman, in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord. Anytime fear tries to come on her and say we're gonna take you out, and ain't nothing going to take you out, girl. Nothing. That's what the Lord is saying. Nothing. And He's going to show you as you go along. It's like with me. Sometimes it's spiritual, and sometimes it ain't. Right? Sometimes I have to review. I talk about this on the show all the time. I'm always having to cast down thoughts of people, you know, praying against me, that kind of thing, and trying to pray their own will on me. I mean, this happens to all of us all the time. We've got to get used to this because people will pray things on you. They don't mean to do it for evil reasons. They just really think they know what's best for you, and they're going to pray and try to dominate you in prayer. It happens sometimes. Doesn't mean they're evil. Doesn't mean they're bad. So, you know, the Lord says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn it. So sometimes just problems with me, I would have be under attack emotionally and mentally. I would feel it. And the Lord, and I said, so I go to the Lord. Lord, finally, I go to the Lord. What's up with this? He said, you know, just condemning every tongue that rises against you in judgment. So I do that maybe sometimes two or three times, three or four times if the battles were really, really strong, sometimes four or five or six times, but not 3 days, not 3 years. Four, five, six times, gone, just like that. So sometimes it is spiritual. Sometimes it is not. It's natural. And we go to the Lord, like you're doing, Michelle, going to the Lord, say, Lord, what's up with me? He's going to show you. He's going to show you. Every time you have an issue, He's going to show you. You need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. Doctors are beautiful. Just make sure and find one that's not trying to get you on medications and get you on pharmaceuticals all the time. Yeah, so anyway. All right, Michelle, I'm back. I kind of went all over the place with that, but there you go.
No, but you helped me out a lot with that, yes. Because sometimes I always think it's spiritual when it's not just really spiritual. It's just, like you said, I might need to drink some water.
Yeah, or take a nap. Or, I mean, there's, you know, the water thing is huge. I mean, I just got through doing that, and I know better about the water, right? I've known better for a long time. God taught me a long time ago, drink your water. You know, because I remember the testimony of my pastor's wife. That's what woke me up to that. She thought she was on her way to going to the grave, girl. That's how bad she was. And all it was, she wasn't drinking her water. Not a big deal. Wasn't a demon. But it was just like, you know, yeah. The devil, if the devil was involved in it, he was involved in trying to get her to just keep drinking. When she thought she was drinking water, she was just drinking coffee or juice and thinking that had water in it. That's all she needed. And she found out that that wasn't it at all. So maybe, in a sense, that was spiritual. That the devil was lying to her about that, you know, and not letting good information come to her. So it's yeah. So anyway, very cool.
Well, thank you so much because that does shine a light on some things for me. And
oh,
I was
good,
drinking Gatorade, and then I noticed that when I drank Gatorade, like if I drink it twice, you know, one today and one tomorrow, I would get a headache because I think there was too many electrolytes. And now when I just need to drink water.
Drink water, exactly. And I've had other people tell me that same thing before. They were drinking too much. They were drinking Gatorade. I can't remember what the details were on that. If I remember, I'll try to let you know. But yeah, they were having issues with that, and they thought Gatorade was going to solve the problem, and fully refresh your body. But it doesn't. It has to be water, just water. Yeah, I think Gatorade's okay. I think Gatorade's good. I don't drink much of anything except water, and I have coffee in the morning. And then I drink water all day long, and then pomegranate juice. I drink pomegranate juice with my little mixture for my immune system. But, you know, so I've been blessed so far. God's been gracious to me, and so I'm believing the same thing for you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I receive it. Well,
all
thank
right.
you. Praise God. I received the word from the Lord on
all
tonight.
Right. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. All right. Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
All right. Thank you, dear. I appreciate it. Okay. If you want to talk tonight, I now have, it's 11:11, by the way, right now, 11:11. And I just happened to, because I don't know, it may be 10:11 some places, 12:11, but in Texas, right now, my time, it's 11:11. That's for somebody right there. That's for somebody. It's still 11:11. Right now, it's 11:11. And today, I think I got some scripture. I don't even know where it was, but it was 11. I think it was, I don't even remember what that was, but it was the scripture that I got from God was 11:11. It was, I don't remember, Lost Chronicles. I can't remember. I don't know where I put that, but yeah, so that's a number for somebody tonight, 11. You know how we think about numbers around here. And so numbers are important because I've seen them. I've seen God show me things supernaturally through numbers, like the Joseph Biden thing when he won the election. You know, the 1134 showed me that Trump wasn't going to win anything. The numbers, 1134, showed me that. 11 was the date of the – 11-3 was November the 3rd. The election was that day. Nothing happened. And I just thought, well, if 11:34 means anything, because I got it twice in one day, a number twice in one day from totally separate circumstances in business, totally separate circumstances in business, the number's 11:34. I documented it was so amazing. And so when 11:3, nobody had elected, I said, well, I came on the show that night. I said, well, if 11:34 means anything, some of you might remember this, I said, four days from now, you know, we're going to have something's going to happen. I didn't know what it was. I didn't say Biden will be the answer. I said in 4 days from now, we're going to know something. And exactly I almost like fell off the chair when I saw it. I go, oh my gosh, it happened on the 4 days later, 11:34. And God gave me those words, which means sovereign and it shall be. Yeah. 11:34 about Biden. And I voted for Trump twice. God is my witness, and Christ shall I not? That's what I did. Romans 9:1. Christ shall I not? That's what Paul did. And so that 11:34 came up with two separate business deals on the same day. Two totally separate things had nothing to do with each other at all. Yeah, I said, God, that's amazing. I wasn't even sure what 11:34 was for. It took me a few days to put it together because that was given to me on October the 14th or 15th, one of those days. And so, yeah. And then 11:34, I said, you know what? After that, 11:34, and they said Trump, Biden won, and then Trump started putting together all of his legal team to come against it, which I was for Trump. You know, I said from that day, Biden's going to win everything, and Trump's not going to win anything. And that's exactly what happened. Exactly. Not because I'm smart and I know things. I mean, look at that. Look how supernatural that was with the number thing. So 11:11 for somebody right now. I wish I could knew that scripture that I got. I have to talk about it maybe tomorrow night, but 11:11. I just happened to look at my clock on my computer, and it was 11:11. So in Jesus' name, be blessed with that. 11:11. I know Jeannie was talking about how that Doug, I'm going to think of the guy's name, Doug somebody. Doug Addison or something like that, gave a word about 11:11, which I thought was better than anything I ever came up with, about how that you know, I can't remember what it said now, the completion of something. And let me see if I can find that. I don't know. I don't know where that's at. Anyway, okay, we'll get to that later. But if Jeannie was listening, she was. I think she was on earlier. The 11:11 was very, very interesting for her. And it was like a word for her. So let's work for somebody. All right, I'm not going to look for that. All right, thank you, Jesus. If you want to talk to me tonight, get your hand up, and we'll talk to you. If you don't have your hand up right now, I'm not going to call your number. So get your hand up if you want to talk for a minute. We have a few people left here. We kind of had a different night tonight. Thank God that Nikki was able to come on and be with us. And able to pray for her and then pray for Robert. So thank you, Jesus, for Robert. Bless that man in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We speak life over him in the name of Jesus. So you want to talk to me tonight? Get your hand up there. I'll give you just about maybe a minute or two to put your hand up there, and then we're going to move on. I'll call it a night then if I need to. We'll be on tomorrow night. There you go. Lisa from Pennsylvania also said she was on, but I don't see her. Try to dominate in prayer. That's profound. I've never heard that put in that word. Oh, okay. So Noel, are you on tonight, Noel? 831. You want to visit a minute? Just get you on. You want to get on? If you want to get on there, just let me know and I'll click your number. You don't have your hand up, but okay, that's okay. Yeah. So it's just that you've never heard anybody talk about a prayer trying to dominate you. People try to dominate you in prayer. That's a profound, I've never heard that put into those words. It's real. It is very real, and I did not get that personal revelation myself. I have to admit, I learned that from other people, and then I found it to be true. If you learn something from somebody and it didn't really work out for you, that means for some reason it's not for you or it doesn't really work. But, people can dominate you in their prayers. And so we have to learn how to – that's a scripture that I use where it says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, but every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn it. So when I started seeing that and I started praying that prayer, and I've heard other men of God talk about this, I learned it from them. I didn't really get that straight from God. But God has revealed to me and showed me that people, good-willing – Not good, nice, willing people that are really love God can just be like anybody else. They can get their mind, they can make their mind up about something that they think they want. They think it's God. You know, it doesn't mean they're evil. It doesn't mean they're wicked. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that they do that. And so we have to realize that people, you know, your mama can pray that on you and just love you. My mama and daddy, I'm sure, my mama prayed for me, all kinds of things that were not of God. That means she didn't love me? Means she hated me? No. Of course my mama loved me. And, she gave birth to me, for crying out loud. Mama always loves you. That's amazing. And so I started realizing that and had to break soul ties with people because they were always trying to get me to do things that wasn't right for me, right? It didn't mean that they were evil because they wanted to do it. It just wasn't right for me. And that connection had to be broken. Soul ties are huge. God wants us to break the soul ties off of us from other people. And so when you get a hold of that and you start learning that, soul ties fit right into it. Right. She says, oh, my goodness, soul ties fit right into it. They say exactly what it is, a soul tie. And then that's why being married is so powerful, your influence with each other. Because when you're married, that soul tie, it's a really major soul tie. And so with that soul tie, there's all kinds of influences that go on. And that's why God really blesses marriage, and that's why the enemy tries to mess it up, to hurt people, to tear you apart at times. The enemy does that. People do it. They don't even know what they're doing. The enemy's using them. They don't have a clue what's going on. It's like Peter being rebuked by Jesus. He didn't know that the devil was using him. Jesus told Peter, he said, get behind me, Satan. You know, what was that? He said, why would Jesus, the Son of God, who didn't have much to be concerned about, he'd already been tempted in every way and had the power of God all over him, why would he have to be rebuking Peter off of, rebuking Satan off Peter? Because the influence, you see it in the Gethsemane, he was being tempted highly. Let this cup pass from me. You can see that Jesus was a human being, but he struggled with that. He just never sinned with it. So Peter, being an influence in his life, was there even Gethsemane with him. But when Peter rebuked him, you know, and said, you're not going to die, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, you know, because you don't savor the things of God. You're thinking about the things of man. You're hearing what the Jews are telling you, what the religious leaders are teaching you about me, that I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to die on the cross, and I'm going to go away. No, you're not. You know, and you think Jesus wasn't struggling at times with, you know, wish, hey, man, you know, maybe God can change his plan, maybe, because you see it in Gethsemane. So what was that? It was a soul tie. He was friends with Peter. They were close, him and John and all of his 12 disciples. They were all close at different levels. But that closeness there, you know, there was all kinds of influence. People are going to be thinking, you know, Jesus, you ain't going to die. There's going to be friends around you. They're going to be thinking, no, you're not going to do that. No, I rebuke that. You're not going to do that. And you have to break the soul ties, man. And you have to pray the prayer, because you're going to have people close to you that love you, that care about you. They're going to be wanting you to do things that they think you're supposed to be doing that may just have nothing to do with God and you at all. You know? Yeah. That's why I don't tell people every purpose that God has for me publicly, is because, you know, I mean, then you enter this. If I told y'all what God had me do, some of you'd be going like, I rebuke that. You know why? Because, you know, when you care for people and you love people, you all kinds of things go on. Yeah, you think all kinds of things. Doesn't make you bad or evil. It just happens. So you have to. Jesus had to rebuke Peter by rebuking Satan, because he knew Satan was trying to influence him through somebody close to him. The enemy will always try to influence you through somebody close to you that really does love and care for you. It's not like they're Judas. It's not a Judas thing. It's a Peter thing. It's a John thing. It's a human being thing. We got to quit demonizing everybody. There are Judases, and they're very real. They're very, very real. We talk about it maybe too much around here. I don't know, because I'm trying to make people aware of things that go on in your life, that will go on in your life, to be prepared for it so that you don't fall away. Like the scripture I gave in John 16 says, I'm telling you all this stuff so you won't fall away. I'm telling you stuff in before time. Where did I get John 16? I read that the other night. I was teaching on it. And Jesus said, I'm telling you these things so that you won't fall away. I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. John 16, verse 1. Yeah. They will put you out of the synagogue. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think you're there offering service to God. This, so we know people are going to be killed. It is going to happen. It's going to be mostly with leaders. Mostly with leaders. They try to take away the leader. Like they did. They dealt with all the 12 apostles, or all 11 of them. Yeah. Even Paul. Why? Because they deal with the leader. So the sheep are a little bit more safe than as far as that goes. But, you know, so that's going to happen. That is going to happen. And so because the enemy knows he can get your leader, he can take you out. He can influence you. And so, yeah. Anyway, so there you go. So what was going on? There was a soul tie between Peter and Jesus. And Jesus was going like, you know, Satan was trying to influence him through a loved one, somebody who actually loved him and cared about him. All right, so we're talking about that. Let's take a call here. All right, 225-454. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi, this is Karen, calling from Louisiana.
Is Sharon?
Karen.
Karen.
Karen,
oh,
with
hi,
the Karen. K. How are you?
Doing good, Karen. All right. Now, we've talked before, right?
Yes, sir, we have.
All right, Karen, good to have you. I'm going to mute you for a second, and we'll pray for you, Karen. Good to have you tonight. Thanks for being with us. Mute you there just for a minute so I don't have any background noise. And if you have me on speakerphone, when I get through prophesying and ministering, praying for you, if you could take me off speakerphone, if you have me on speakerphone, because it starts echoing in my ears with speakerphone for some reason. I was hoping that Block Talk would fix all that by now, but something hasn't been fixed. So anyway, all right. So thank you, Lord, for Karen. God, we thank you, Lord, for Karen. We thank you, Jesus, for giving her peace about even things that Karen, there's this whole realm of thinking we're going to have peace about things when we understand them. When we understand them, then we have peace about it. Not necessarily. Sometimes God wants to take us through things to where we don't understand something, but yet we have peace about it anyway. Because if we think we're going to understand everything, Karen, like I've gone through this, I think everybody has. Like, I don't understand, God. What is it? I don't understand it. And we get out of peace about it because we think that if we don't understand it, we feel vulnerable. We feel all kinds of things. And the Lord's saying, you know, you're not always going to understand everything. I'm going to give you peace that passeth understanding. In other words, you're not going to understand everything. And I'll find that scripture for you if you want it. The peace that passeth understanding. So what does that mean? That means you're not always going to understand why this happened and why this didn't happen. Why all of a sudden this shocking thing, like, why went down, like well, even the political arena. All of a sudden Trump's not president anymore. Like, I think everybody went to shock about that, right? Yeah, even though God has been speaking to me about everything, I was just kind of shocked by it all, too. I was shocked in some way, you know. But shocked but ready. And so I said, God, you know, so sometimes we go to things, we go, God, I don't understand what's going on. Am I going to ever have peace about this thing? But I'm only going to get peace because I understand it. The Lord says, no, I'm going to give you the peace that I have for you, Karen, is the peace that passes understanding. In other words, you may not understand it. Sometimes God may give you understanding. We can ask for it. All the apostles prayed and said, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, the understanding from God. So God can give us, we pray for that. We believe God for that. That's in Ephesians 1 or chapter 1, chapter 2, 1 of 2. No, that's in chapter 1. Paul the Apostle is praying a prayer over the saints. He said, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the understanding and understanding and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, right? So when we get that, if we are getting understanding, you know, that can bring peace too. But if you don't have understanding, what then? Well, the peace of God passes all that. It doesn't really matter whether you understand it or not. It's like, okay, God, I don't understand this. I had this dream, had this vision. You know, Joseph had a dream and a vision and thought he understood all of it, what's going to happen with it. And all of a sudden he was being cast out of the very place he lived where he was going to grow crops and his brother's sheaves were going to bow down to his sheaves. You know, I said, now he's not even there. You know, wasn't around his father anymore who favored him. He had total favor with his father. His father favored him over all his brothers. He was favored, man. All of a sudden, like, he ain't favored by nobody. You know, he's out in Egypt. He's away from everything. So he didn't understand what was going on. And God taught him how to have the peace of God, to trust God. And he gave him peace that passed understanding. Because when you don't have peace that passed understanding, there's always going to be things that we get in our life that we're not going to understand. And so the sooner that we say, God, give me peace. You may want to show this to me 6 months from now or 6 weeks from now, but right now I don't understand this. And I don't have peace about this. So help me, Jesus. And the Lord say, my peace will give you peace that passeth understanding. Yeah, you don't have to understand it. I'll give you peace in the midst of it. Because when you have peace that passeth understanding, the enemy can't torment you with things that he knows you're not going to find out. He knows you're not going to find out. One of the biggest things that Satan gets, especially women, Satan picked on women in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the Garden of Eden. Picked on a woman. Took advantage of her, you know, because women want to know things. They're very curious. And when Satan put the all-time question to the woman, men are the same way in some ways, but women are more, you know, that's just the thing God's given them. Like, they want to know. They want to know. You know, and Satan says, you know, God's keeping something from you. He's keeping something from you. Yeah. Yeah. And basically, if you'll eat of that fruit, you'll know what that something is. She said, sure enough, man, I want to know what that something is. and so she ate of the fruit, and her and Adam ate of the fruit. Adam really became responsible for it, but because the enemy knew exactly how to get, he knows how to get people, he knows how to get them. He'll give you a curiosity to want to know things, to understand things. I want to understand this stuff. And she wanted to understand, you know, God and things that, you know, Satan told her, yeah, you want to understand and be like God and understand like God understands? Eat of that fruit. It will give you understanding. Boy, it was a lie and a truth at the same time. And she ate it. Adam and Eve ate it. And, boy, so there's this thing in us that Satan goes, you know, you want to understand. So he tries to get us to seek God about understanding things that sometimes we're just not going to understand until he gives us personal revelation about it. So he uses it to get us in the flesh and get us anxious and, oh, I got to know. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. And the Lord says, give it over to me. I want you to know. I'll tell you. But don't eat of that fruit any longer. It's going to mess with you. Yeah, I'm going to get you messed up. Amen. All right. So, Karen, I just went all over the place again, as I usually do. But so what's up tonight? How are you?
Oh, I'm good. But, yeah, definitely been praying for a lot of peace. Definitely. Situations do seem like it kind of came out of nowhere. But God is God, and he's definitely helping us through it. You know, our family's pulling together, praying together, and just praying to God for direction, that God will open doors for our loved one that's experiencing, you know, this hardship right now. For God deliverance, his liberty, and his favor, and that, you know, every evil plan of the enemy would be exposed so the person can, you know, overcome it and go free. Because we know this person is a good person.
Right. I think the biggest thing with all that, that the things that are hard to understand, is that, you know, the enemy tries to get us, like he told Eve, you know, he said, you want to understand like God understands? In other words, have perfect understanding of every situation, why everything goes on. Sometimes God doesn't want us to know. Sometimes, you know, we're not ready to know stuff. Because if we knew, it might destroy us. And so when we come to maturity and we grow in the Lord, you know, maybe 6 weeks from now we mature, 6 years from now we mature, and one day the Lord says, yeah, let me tell you what really went on with that situation, and because then we can handle it, because we've learned how to give everything to God. And God goes, when you learn how to give everything to me and you trust me for everything, then I can tell you things. But until then, Paul the Apostle told him, he said, I can't feed you meat. What is meat? Meat is more knowing things about God. The meat of the word is more how God does things and why he does things. The milk of the word is just kind of like, you know, so I had to give you milk. I couldn't really give you the meat because you have to have the milk first, you know. And so the enemy tries to get us to eat meat before we have the milk that we need, before we mature and grow into that. And that's all of us. I mean, there's some things God can't tell me what's going on. I've had God tell me some pretty amazing things that were going on, and it was hard to believe. And if he had told me that 5 years before that, I wouldn't have believed it. You know, I rebuked the Lord a few times, Karen, over things he's told me. Oh, I bind that up. Yeah, you know why? Because the way I think, like, do what? No, I bind that up. The Lord says, he just laughs. I think he laughs at me because he knows, you know, he knows how we do it sometimes. We just rebuke the Lord because he knows we don't know. God is like, how dare you rebuke me, son? What's wrong with you, you nitwit, or something like that, you know? Like, I'm not a nitwit, you know? So he doesn't do that. You know why? Because he knows we don't understand. He knows we don't know. Until he shows us, we don't know things. And so the more I learn to enter into just trusting him and knowing him, if he wanted me to know, I'm going to know. If he didn't want me to know, it's okay. He's going to take care of me. He's going to watch over me. He's going to intervene in situations. If I don't, we think we have to understand everything. And that's what the thing with Eve was so tempting was, you mean I can eat that apple, Mr. Snakey, and when I eat that, I'm going to understand everything like God? I mean, Karen, I never even thought about that until I'm talking to you tonight. That's the first time I've ever thought about that. Thank you, Jesus, for having Karen call tonight. Because as I was prophesying over you, ministering to you, I never thought about half of that stuff before. Honestly.
Yeah.
That was amazing to me.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah, if the enemy gets us out of peace, then he tears us to pieces. Right? That's what he does with me every time. Gets me out of peace. And he's done that many times with me. I got out of peace. I can understand why that guy didn't pay me that. You didn't take care of his business. Pretty soon I'm so mad, you know, I'm so angry as a Christian and a man of God and a servant of God. I'm so angry I want to go over there and bust the windows out of his office. That's how angry I got. I didn't ever do it. But I'm thinking about it, you know. I mean, I hate to admit it, thank God. And I had to write him a letter and say, you know, God says, you know, this is going to ruin you. You're not going to understand everything. He said, just forgive him. Sometimes we don't forgive until we understand. Oh, now I understand. No, God says, you're not going to understand. Just forgive him anyway. And when I did, then God released me, and wow, he blessed me double with what that guy. Literally, a man, an attorney from Washington, D.C., an FCC attorney, sent me a letter saying, you know, you owed us $12,700. And I said, yeah, I can't pay you because the person that's ripping me off, I can't get things together to start paying you stuff because that's how I made my money. And he just forgave me totally. An FCC attorney from Washington, D.C. just forgave me just like that.
Oh,
$12,000,
wow,
boom. And that was back in the early 90s. 91, 92, I remember exactly what it was. Yeah. But it was tearing me up because I couldn't understand why, you know. And that's what Satan gets us with. You know. You got to understand everything. Then we eat the apple.
What happened?
What now?
I was just saying, agreeing to that, I was like, you think sometimes, like, how did this happen, Lord? What happened? What did I miss?
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Oh, me too. Yeah, and you think prophets get everything, but sometimes they don't. You see times in the Bible where even the prophet said, God, how can we tell you about that? So, well, you know, I just couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. You know, so there's some things that we just don't know. And, but, you know, the enemy tries to use it to torment us to, you know, get us out of peace. So it's pretty amazing.
Right. God is amazing.
The peace that passeth understanding. Man, I love that. I love that.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
So, Lord, we thank you for helping Karen to understand that. There's one thing. She's not going to eat that apple like I've done and like I made. Hopefully not. I will never do it again. I might. By the grace of God, you're going to keep me from eating the apple of trying to, like, be God and understand everything God knows, because God understands everything, knows everything, because he's able to handle it. We think we can handle it. Eve thought she could handle it. It ended up being messing Adam up bad. They both... It was basically Adam's fault, but because he didn't train Eve enough about that. But anyway, that's beside the point. But the trickster tries to get us to do that. And so, Lord, I thank you for giving Karen that supernatural Holy Ghost peace that passes understanding. She didn't understand. It's like she's just going to, like, yeah, okay, Jesus, I'm going to trust you anyway. I believe you. You're going to give me peace. And when we enter into that peace, it opens up the door. The door of peace opens up the door for God to take care of business. And then sometimes we don't even understand how he took care of business. Because we trust him. We try not to figure it all out. He starts doing things that we can't even figure out how he blessed us. How did you do that, God? How did that work? Yeah, well, maybe one of these days I might tell you. Maybe.
Amen. Amen.
All right,
yeah,
Michelle,
I
anything else?
That word. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Keep our family in your prayers. You know, thank you so much for your word.
Oh, you're so welcome. You are so welcome. Thank you very much for calling in. And let us know. Keep us up on what's going on.
Will do. Thank you.
No, she's a kid. Okay. Yeah, lovely. All right, everybody. That was another call. I got any more. I don't have any callers with their hand up right now. So if you want prayer or ministry, you want to talk or share testimony or maybe something God's done for you that you want to say, or if you want some understanding, some wisdom on some stuff. You know, I don't know if you'll get it or not, but we could sure just give it a shot. That's for sure. We can sure give it a shot. Yeah. So get that hand up there. And we will pray for you and believe God with you and minister to you. You never know what you might draw out of the Lord tonight. You know, I'm always amazed at how people draw things out from the Holy Spirit through me. And the privilege I get is that because I'm here serving and God does a great thing because I'm available to serve him, he gives me great information. And great information makes a person great, right? Why? Because, hey, man, that was great, Randy. I'm not great, but that was great, right? And God is great. So the servants become the greatest, right? Because God's always giving great things through them. Really cool. Really amazing. All right. Hallelujah. God's going to start doing things in the market realm. That's something he's speaking to me about. You know, I've talked to you guys about how he's used me in that many times before. The big things, even at times he used me in everyday things, everyday market things, company names, that kind of thing. It's been a while. So pray. Let's be praying about that, that the marrying of the markets to the prophets. I think that's already happened, basically, but I feel like God's getting ready to take it to a whole other level. So get ready to take whole new steps. Sometimes God is waiting for you and me to take a step to get out of the boat. Get out of the boat means giving you understanding. That's walk on the water realm, supernatural, totally supernatural, walk on the water realm. You can't give walk on the water realm information to people that don't walk on the water. See what I'm saying? He says, oh, give me a word about this. Give me a word about that. Okay, you know, I'm willing to do that. Of course, I love doing it. But you know what? If you're not walking on the water, I can give you a walk on the water word if you're going to set your boat, right? So you learn how to do that, and God begins to give you an understanding. So if you want to walk on the water word, you got to start walking on the water. Got to be willing to get out of the boat. Right? In other words, when you call in, just start getting out of the water right then. Say, God, I'm getting out of the water. I mean, getting out of the boat, getting out of the water. That was backwards, wasn't it? Some people are trying to get out of the water. I'm getting out of the boat, Jesus. I'm getting out of the boat. So let Randy give me a getting out of the boat, walking on the water word. And if you mean it, and if you're doing it, and you're not just talking, and you really mean it, guess what, friend? You'll get a walk on the water work. I guarantee it. It's by your faith, by the faith of Christ in you. And when you get into that, you're walking on the water, or you have walk on the water faith, and you're doing it. You don't get a walk on the water. If you're not walking on the water, person, this is some awesome preaching. I got to. Hang on a second. I know this is being recorded, but I got to get this on my phone. This is what I do every day when I get words. Walk on the water. Walk on the water word. If you want a walk on the water word, gotta walk on the water. Okay, I got that. I had to get that in, man. That was awesome. So if you want to sit in the boat in the storm word, just fine. Nothing wrong with that. Then stay in the boat and get a stay in the boat word. You know, a word of comfort, a word of hang on. God's going to protect you. You can give different kinds of words. Depends on where you're at and what's going on. You want to walk on the water word, you got to walk on the water. You want a word about in the boat in the middle of the storm? Hey, those are good words too, man. You want that kind of work? God will give you that kind of work. You want to walk on the water work? You got to be willing to want to walk on the water, friend. Literally. Literally. That's amazing. Okay, I guess nobody's going to raise their hand up tonight. So it's not even quite midnight yet, but almost. So if you don't raise your hand pretty quick here, I'm going to call it a night. It's been kind of a different night. It's been an unusual night. Thank God for tonight. Thank God for everybody. Pray for Nikki and Charles. Pray for our Florida friends tonight. Cheryl's brother, Robert. Pray for that. Let's believe God for that. And let's believe God tonight. I mean, that was my gosh. Did y'all hear that? You want to walk on the water, words. You got to step out of the boat and be willing to walk on the water. If you want to stay in the boat, word, those are awesome too, man. They are. Every part of what God speaks. He'll talk to you on whatever level that you are on. If you're staying in the boat trying to hang over dear life, and you're seeing crazy Peter walk on the water, you say, man, you are crazy, dude. You're going to go down. Yeah. He got a walk on the water word. You know what the walk on the water was? Word was? He said, Jesus, can I walk on the water? That's what you got to ask the Lord that tonight. Jesus, can I walk on the water so I can get a walk on the water word? Literally. And Jesus goes, yeah, Peter, come on out. The water is awesome. So he got a walk on the water word. God spoke his word to him and empowered him to walk on water. Dude, that is like awesome. That is amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Amen. All right. So tomorrow is Wednesday. We're going to be prophesying over everybody on Wednesdays. So call in for that. Get in there for that. We'll be doing that. So thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Some people listen to the video, watch the video during the show. Thank you for that. And for some people just like to watch the video, some people not. So get in there and do whatever God's telling you to do. Yeah. Obey God. Walk on the water word, or you want to stay in the boat word. It's all good. And we freely and lovingly and graciously love to give those words, whatever they are, to comfort you, build you up. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right. That's it for me tonight. Nobody else raising their hand. We're here to serve you, minister to you. So, hallelujah. Gonna get a walk on the water word. Yeah. All right. You want to walk on the water word? Ask God to help you. Jesus, you want me to come out on the water with you? Because those other guys, they never even ask. They weren't walking the water people. If they were in a storm and they were in a boat, they could have gone down too. Jesus' protection. All right. Good night, everybody. We're going to call it a night tonight. God bless you. And see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.